Super Gaming Best Friends. Super Gaming Best Friends. Monkey throwing barrels. Hunting ducks with dogs of scenarios, and we'll play with you.
It's Thursday, July 5th, 2012, and you're listening to Super Gaming Best Friends, the podcast of HorribleNight.com, where the staff comes together to talk about the games that they are playing. I'm your host, Josh Lee. Joining me tonight, my super gaming best friends that, seriously, you guys are my real life friends too. Some of the best.
Good.
Well, the best in the gaming, real life, pretty good. Justin Lacey, editor-in-chief of HorribleNight.com is here. What's up?
I'm excited that for some reason in that intro, I really felt like we were Voltron. Just the staff of Horrible Night comes together to talk about the games.
Oh, we touched hands accidentally.
I don't want to touch you.
Oh my God, I'm so sorry.
What part of me goes into you then?
I haven't seen Human Centipede Part 2 yet, so I can't answer that question.
You guys are freaking me out.
The answer is the mouth.
Ethan Moses, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey guys, how's it going? Feeling good. I'm glad you said I was an okay friend, because in real life I am an okay friend and it takes pressure off me. So that's good.
Yeah, there is nothing worse than somebody saying like, oh, he's my best friend.
When I hate that.
You don't feel the same way. You can't, if there's no reciprocity, then shit just got weird.
Yeah.
But the other person doesn't know it's weird.
Yeah.
But you're just like, fuck.
Oh, then they make you their best man. Oh. I've never been a best man yet.
Yeah, but, that's good.
Yeah.
That's really good.
That's where I keep my bar, too.
Yeah, same here. I stay below.
I mean, the party. You know, I'll come out to the bachelor party.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, yeah.
Don't give me a responsibility. Mm-hmm. No. I barely know you.
Yeah, and I'll fuck it up.
Right, right.
But you're a good friend.
Yeah, it's like you don't want to be that guy who is actually doesn't know the groom as well as the other people in the party.
But you're
the best man. You know, that happens.
And someone's pissed.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Everyone else looks at you like, "Fuck this guy. Who is this guy?"
But then
he doesn't even grow up in the same town.
Yeah. When you start to feel that moment, that's when you throw out the inside joke that only you and the groom get.
Mm-hmm.
And then like you just rise above.
No, but you completely separated yourself from those other people though, which is not the point when you're all going to have to hang out several times.
You really have to have a self-deprecating sense of humor at that point. Like, you really have to like, guys, I'm really kind of a shit. He's just being really nice to me. Like, that's what I always do.
You guys all deserve this so much more than
yeah.
me. I want to thank you guys for getting me that, you know, if it wasn't for you, I would have never been the best man. That's the speech.
Make that speech at the reception.
You make a speech about the other guys in the
best man would like to make a speech to the other groomsmen? We're going to go ahead, yeah.
We've also got Dr. J.P. LaFrance, MD, PhD.
PhD, wow, that's new.
Yeah, so, how's it going?
Good, Josh, how are
DDS,
you?
DDS too, right?
OPP.
DDS, I'm not, no, I don't want to be a dentist. That's not very fun.
Oh, why not?
Yeah, I mean.
I don't want to stick my hands in Ethan's mouth, because he might bite.
He would never be my dentist. Ethan doesn't go to the dentist.
You wouldn't be the kind of doctor, the dentist to use his hands, though, I don't think. Just something tells me that wouldn't.
Alternative dentist.
Anyway, you know, actually, I'm thinking more along the lines of like, I don't know, like the Nip Tuck, or what was that one movie that was about the like boob job plastic surgeons?
Oh yeah, yeah, with what's his name from Friends? That's like the only other thing I ever saw him in. Ross.
Yeah, that one guy from
David
Friends.
David Schwimmer. Yeah.
Oh yeah,
there it is.
Yeah.
There was a lot of boobs in it, and then it got really dark and weird, and then there was a terrible car crash in it at the end.
I was thinking of a whole nine yards, and he's a dentist.
I don't know. I didn't get past the boobs. So
the other guy.
Chandler.
Oh, wow. Weird.
Matthew,
they all play doctors.
Perry. Yeah.
Jennifer Aniston was a dentist in that one movie.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Horrible
Bosses.
Horrible Bosses. Yeah.
Keep going. Can we do this?
Yeah.
I think Lisa Kudrow's a therapist on her HBO show.
Oh, shit.
Oh, fuck.
Who else we have?
Courtney Cox.
What's his name? The doofy guy.
Joey.
Yeah. Yep. Joey.
Yeah. He would never be.
No.
He was a baseball player, and he played baseball with a chimpanzee in a movie. I promise you. I don't know what that movie's called.
I'm
Look
sure
it up.
He's got a PhD. Then.
Yeah. In baseball.
And we need to put like quotation marks around the word friends in this show. This week.
Yeah. Well, let's put it this way. I'm the only video game certified doctor around here.
Yeah.
So
cool.
Let's just put that out there.
All right.
Yeah. So he can prescribe to you
tweets.
Tweets.
really bad gaming suggestions.
Yes, there it is. There you go. So you guys want to do maybe an on-the-spot question?
One of them.
Yeah. Oh, we just have one this week?
Yeah.
Just one. Well, you know.
We ask that if you have your own questions to send us, you please send them to ask@horriblenight.com, and we'll read them on the air. And if you don't, we get questions like this one from Justin Lacey.
Yeah, I'll make up stuff like this. So, we're watching the Secret World trailer a little bit this week, the latest MMO that covers a slightly different genre than most. So, my question is, what genres are left for MMOs to cover that you might actually care about or they shouldn't do? Go either way with it.
Monster trucks.
Oh, shit. Yeah. Like yay?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man.
I would play Monster Truck Story, like the little hand, the mobile story games.
Like the Kairosoft game.
Like, yeah.
What about, what? You know, think Monster Truck Madness. They should do a wrestling version of that. Monster, whoa.
What if you combine those two? I'm just saying, you wrestle part of the time to make money to put better gear on your monster truck, and then you could race your monster truck to buy better costumes.
Game.
They do?
Well, they have the monster truck wrestling game. What was that called?
Well, like, can we just like put in all the? These are just classes of characters in this driving. Game.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
We'll call it like Hillbilly
Shitty Entertainment.
Whoa.
Hillbilly.
Hillbilly?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, come on. You know the now, kind wait, of work that I, goes into I... those monster trucks?
And you I think mean, any of those guys are like, I'm guessing there's not like a whole lot of dudes like wearing like sashes and stuff.
I hoot and I holler when I watch monster trucks. And that's a good thing.
That makes you a hillbilly. And that's
why
okay.
How does that make me a hillbilly?
I'm a hillbilly too. You know, I like wrestling and monster trucks like Demolition Derby.
Tractor poles?
Yeah, like skeet shooting. People shooting.
Yeah.
Animal shooting. I don't, yeah.
Oh, that, what's that? What's that?
You could
sport?
Be a hunter in this thing. You could be.
Oil that what? Pig High up lie. And you try to oh. catch the pig. Is that, isn't that a game?
No.
Do people do that?
No.
That's hey, not, Josh.
Yeah.
Can my hillbilly wear overalls with no shirt, have a like PBR in one hand, wearing a trucker hat?
Oh, that's
and,
hipster.
Like, no, that's hipster. Yeah.
Then, yep, yep.
You can have a old Milwaukee. Or
how about a
natural
Schlitz?
Ice?
Schlitz.
Yeah, there you can have Schlitz.
Hams. I'll do you one better. Hams.
Okay.
Oh, hams, yep. That's kind of a minor beer.
Oh, my God. Microtransaction. You could get, like, different boots or hats or belt buckles.
Mm-hmm. No pants.
Can I get a trucker hat that says, Wine Me, Dine Me, 69 Me?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you could. That's the perfect. Thing. It'd be a dollar in the store. Yeah.
And then I'll name him Seabass.
Oh, wow, this
Hillbilly MMO.
It's a weighted question.
I think we just answered the question.
Yeah, there we go. You're welcome.
So Redneck Rampage yes. in an MMO.
Redneck Rampage meets Monster Truck Madness meets the WCW.
A hunting game, a wrestling game. Yeah. That's the thing. You could just have it, and if the mechanics were decent enough.
Cabela can sponsor this one.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
What about like Outdoor Life Network or something?
Yeah.
Or like TNN.
Bass Pro Shops.
Fishing, yep. There you go.
Your mission could be to go to the city.
You know? No, that's where you go. That, yeah, well, yeah. And then that's
like
you
a
fight.
Level 60, like...
And you're fighting bad guys. It's like a raid. Yeah, you have to take people with you.
Yeah.
Man, you get... Oh, God. You could just, like, customize your truck all day.
Dude, that would be tight.
And by customize, you mean put big rust holes in it and have no exhaust pipe on it?
Well,
decorate your lawn. A gun rack so big you can't see out the back window.
Slash decorate your lawn. Mm-hmm.
Oh man,
sounds good.
Oh my God, I'm so in on this.
Yeah,
this when is really I good buy idea. It?
Who's out? You know what?
Kickstart
that shit.
Yeah, that's the only. I mean, the funny thing is that the people that actually do all these things would not be the people to play this.
Right.
No, but we would be the ones to play it because we'd get a lot of entertainment out of it.
And it's not like who's going to get offended because. I mean, the parts of the game that are the gameplay parts, I mean, those are all real things.
Well, and hillbillies are the happiest people on the planet. They don't get offended by that shit.
Well, look at all the shows that are on TV.
Yeah, they love it.
And like, yeah, that's
Swamp
cool.
People?
They look at it. Because your average,
reality
like,
show story, that's the other handheld game.
Reality show
manage,
story.
You can manage all the storage wars and pickers and
pawn shops.
Pawning.
Now, is picking a hillbilly hobby? It's on the edge.
Yeah,
it's
sure.
Kind of, that's
how you get to new areas.
Though, so
that's
maybe how, we could have a hipster MMO.
That's how you, like, you go from your main mobile home center,
mm-hmm.
and then you pick your way to the next.
JP just suggested a hipster MMO. That would suck. It'd be too ironic. You wouldn't, you know, there'd be...
Well, it wouldn't be as good as the beta.
No, it wouldn't. Oh, it definitely wouldn't. No.
Man, that'd be the first game where you read books inside of the game.
And put toy dogs in purses.
Well, do you think people wouldn't
just have a listening party for some
It'd be the type of game that you didn't play because everybody else played it.
Yeah, right.
Like, a celebutante MMO, and you can make sex tapes like Kim Kardashian and become really, really famous because of it.
Sex tape MMO. Mm.
You could also just go into Second Life and make a coffee shop.
Hmm.
You could probably get the same.
Do you guys want to go in on
experience?
That? What are you guys doing? I mean,
the Horrible Night Coffee Shop.
Why not? Horrible coffee.
Yeah.
It's ironic. Hipsters would love it.
Yep.
They would
They
would be all
yeah.
over that.
Yeah. Oh, it's the shittiest coffee in the we reuse all of our grinds. Coffee grounds.
We could put a PBR sign, and when they walk in to get the PBR and we're like, we don't have it, they'd be like, all right.
Yeah.
They'd love that. They would love that shit.
We
sold out.
Yeah. We buy PBR and then we pour it out. Oh, and all we serve is empty cans. Like, that's the most like emo thing to do. Like, let's offend everyone with our games.
What's next? What's another?
No, wait. I have a question. Are they making like a Sims MMO? Because we could just make all these career paths. Like, you could have the hillbilly career path and the hipster career path.
How about the you follow a concert around the country career path?
Groupie?
You just give
hand jobs to the band?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. No. I think more like the
jam band MMO.
Yeah. Yeah. There it is.
You just skied the Rolling Stones. 500 points.
Do you get points in MMOs?
That's
I don't know.
Different.
It's been a long time.
That's,
you sold enough
That's
tofu MMOs. Burritos to get to the next gig.
Man, you know, I don't. Maybe because all the browser based games now, we actually might get some of this kind
of
crap.
Absolutely.
But the MMO stuff. You know, let's get serious, guys. No, but really, what kind of genres haven't been touched that are mainstream enough to be worth the investment?
Because I even remember when The Secret World was announced, I didn't get right away that it was slightly different, like as far as kind of based in reality, but then it has all the supernatural stuff.
Yeah, but this is the kind of thing where we've seen a lot of TV shows kind of like this, you know. Like X-Files kind of spin, you know, stuff.
Yeah.
The Sci-Fi Channel has like five of them, so.
So.
Like, this isn't like that out there, I don't think, is what I'm saying.
I mean.
And Funcom has done more, like Anarchy Online was
an actual zombie
fantasy.
MMO can't be too far off.
I think, there's a couple. What about like a, we've got the military multiplayer shooting, but we don't really have like a military MMO where maybe you would like attack.
Do we
actual war MMO?
Yeah, like just like here's my
not
friends.
Like Planet Side, like MMO FPS. Like,
yeah,
ooh,
no, like,
I guess they have that with modern military.
Yeah, yeah.
Hmm.
Depending on how much strategy's in it, I would be interested in something like that because I mean, I don't know. You look at Company of Heroes and the way they have the class set up. I mean, is there any way you could take it to the next level where you could be like a spy or I don't know, or you could do like a super espionage kind of like. 60s, 70s spy espionage MMO.
I like to see them do kind of what, you know, Dust and EVE Online are starting. Like, get different games that are all in the same universe that kind of somehow inform one another, but, like, get it more thought out from the beginning. Because, I mean, the Dust concept's cool, but, like, if you'd actually planned out multiple games that, you know, somehow you take care of different roles
That'd be cool.
Affect the other games.
It's just weird because EVE is such a big scope and Dust, I mean, you're just one individual. So how to balance that would be interesting, I think.
Well, in any MMO, the world has to accept thousands and thousands of heroes. And that's kind of a limitation.
Yeah.
Otherwise, everything you do, it ends up just being like, well, it's you and
just
100
a
other people or like a sports MMO. I know there've been some of this online stuff maybe with like baseball.
You're
or
all the MVP.
But how's that work, you know?
That's how, first
how many
grade
players
was for me.
are in a league, you know, and then that's your max and then everyone else got to be in different leagues. I guess that'd be like different servers, but
I don't know. I think when you're talking about sports MMOs, you got to just stick with like the Madden like online season model.
Yeah.
What if they got the hardcore like Madden players to play the games, but then there's the bridge of the owners of these different franchises, and you're trying to make, you know, the NFL the biggest. Never mind. It's not interesting anymore.
No.
But I like the concept of, I believe it's hybrid, where you're going to have these 3-on-3 battles, but then you're actually going to
it's actually going to, you know, they almost need to shrink the MMO scale. Like,
yeah, I mean, it's almost like, so you have these
battles. Are you talking about these battles, but they're affecting like a bigger thing?
Yeah, yep. And it contributes to everything.
Well, yeah, that there was the beta, it never got out of beta, but it was a Battletech 3025. It was a MechWarrior game, and it played just like the MechWarrior 4.
Mm-hmm.
But it was, I think like 3-on-3 or maybe 5-on-5 or something was like the max in a battle. But you had this big map, and mm-hmm. you fought for a faction or house, and you would gain territory and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. And you know, that was kind of cool. It's a persistent, you know, map that you affect or stats. Like PlanetSide 2 is going to have that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So as you're running around taking bases and all that kind of stuff, you get bonuses for your whole faction that then, you know, like every little thing you do, it affects everyone that's on your one of the three factions. So even if you're not in those battles.
Well, that concept could be easily implemented in all kinds of different games. I mean, if they wanted to keep that scale, but if you're talking about fully,
then we just
like,
can't think of them. But
I think, you know what, DayZ, that kind of that concept, that kind of idea where you have, it's you know, it's online, but it doesn't have maybe the MMO, like, you know, you're not necessarily leveling up to the extent that you are in other games, but it is still a, you know, a community.
Each server is a persistent world.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
and that's cool.
You got 100 guys in it, and that's cool, but yeah.
And there's your zombie, I mean, there's your zombie MMO, quote unquote.
Well, well imagine like DayZ gameplay mechanics, but it was the map of the United States, and everyone's in there at once.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Like every, that would be actually really cool.
But could you go to monster truck events in this?
There are no monster trucks in the apocalypse.
Well,
unless
how do you know? Have you been to the apocalypse?
Well,
I think Gravedigger is going to survive.
I was going to say. Yeah.
Well,
I've learned anything.
Gas is the problem.
Yeah, that is true.
Like in Mad Max, like eventually those cars were all going to run out of juice.
They could run off of zombies.
Ooh, a Mad Max MMO.
I think we could tweak the narrative.
Didn't they do that? Fallen Earth was that, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. Fallen Earth does have that kind of stuff. I think we could tweak the narrative to include monster trucks in a zombie game.
I'm sure you can make it happen.
I mean.
Yeah. Like, they're hybrids.
Or they run on cooking oil.
Yeah,
all those people that do that. You know, it's like french fries, you know?
Yep.
I'm a monster truck, and you're really hungry now that you see me, because that's what those cars do.
Oh, it just looks like it's the McDonald's car. It just looks like a big, large fries.
Well, the zombies would probably follow it.
Human flesh, french fries. They don't like french fries.
No,
that's not true.
They don't use the beef flavoring anymore over there, so there's no meat attraction there to the fries.
Nope.
Wow, that was a good question, Justin. Thank you.
That was really, really good. Good thing we didn't take one of those dumb fan ones.
I apologize everybody out there for going in the predictable direction with this. Try to improve it for next time.
Remember, you can improve this segment
by
sending good questions. Ask at horriblenight.com is the email address. All right, guys, I want to know what kind of games you've been playing. I'm really dying to know. Well, maybe not so much you, but like Justin and JP for sure.
Yeah.
Justin,
what's up?
It's been a couple weeks since we last talked.
Yes. Well, that's not true.
About games in these chairs.
Mm-hmm. Can be a little bit more specific.
You're like, oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about a cool game that you've been playing. Maybe one that you played with me, even.
You want to go there?
Wow, let's do it.
Going to lead the question.
Let's do it.
So, Josh and I were setting up a mandate for some gaming.
Whoa, I'm a little bit hurt.
Yeah. Just Josh and I.
I know. No, that's what a mandate is.
And
I understand.
We were going through the games that we want to play, and first, like, really, we started out thinking we were going to do some single player games that would entertain both of us that one of us hadn't played.
Mm-hmm.
But then I got this idea of, you know what, there was a couple co-op games released last year that I was kind of interested in, and so I swung by the store to see, you know, if they have it for cheap, I might get something. Picked up Lord of the Rings War in the North, which was one of those games that came out in the holiday rush, and it's a snowblind game, the guys that made Champions of Norrath. And
Baldur's Gate Dark Alliance, Justice League Heroes.
Lots of hacking and slashing.
Oh, yeah.
And I had played this game at PAX. I just played a quick little snippet, and it was pretty much all action-oriented. And what drew me to the game is this is a M-rated Lord of the Rings game.
Hmm.
There's plenty of gore, and the action feels really good. And the segment I played at PAX was just one action scene, didn't get a scope of the story or anything at all, so I didn't really know what to expect. I thought this would be kind of along the lines of those old the EA titles on the PlayStation 2 that came out with the movies that were just kind of straight up mission by mission.
Oh, like the Two Towers and Return of the King games?
Yes, yeah. That were just one mission, next mission, just keep going. And turns out that Warren North has a little bit more going on under the hood. It starts off kind of heavy story-based, just getting you into these characters that you're basically playing. What is it? It's a ranger, a dwarf, and a lore master?
Yeah, the elven lore master. Yeah.
So basically a
like
sorcerer,
a wizard,
ranger. And it took a little bit while to get going, but these characters are basically kind of battling in a different part of the world while the main story is going on. Once the action got going, Josh and I were pretty much hooked to slashing off limbs and keeping track of how many limbs we've slashed off in each battle. And then, to I think both of our surprise, there's a pretty decent loot system going on in this game. There's some gear to be picked up, and the loot lust kind of hit us heavy.
Man, that I was really, really surprised by how deep it was. I was thinking the same thing. I thought, you know what, action-y, but right from, I mean, the tone is set when you start out in Bree, and you're there's an inn, and you walk around, and you talk to everyone, but there's a dialogue tree, kind of, you know, BioWare style, it's co-op. We're playing, you know, this is split screen. You can play up to three people if you have somebody online, right?
Yep.
But like, okay, well, we're going to sit through some dialogue here, and the writing wasn't terrible. Mm. So, you know, we didn't skip a ton. And it ended up not being super dialogue heavy. There's more action than anything else, but you know, that just lets you know, like, this is an RPG.
Mm-hmm. So, did you guys ever play Conquest? Lord of the Rings Conquest? It came out probably about 4 years ago.
Oh, a little bit, yeah.
No. Okay. So, anything like that?
No.
Okay.
Not really.
At all. Okay. Because that game was, I love the idea, but it wasn't great.
No, this is really like one of their Snowblind's old games, just with better graphics and a more in-your-face like camera angle, like third person.
So there's kinda leveling up, and you said
loot. Oh yeah, you got stats. You get put points into stats when you level up.
Oh wow,
you got skills to unlock. You have skill points. Like, you know, you're managing all that stuff. And by the way, co-op, you're playing split screen. One person could be in the menus doing shit. The other person's running around.
That was
doing
awesome. Other stuff. That like awesome. We're like in different areas of the town. Mm-hmm. And or like I'm leveling up while he's battling guys.
Oh, so
and
no tether.
No, it was
not at all. That's not cool. At all. You, when you leave areas, like it loads to a new map, obviously you're gonna load, you know, but it says it'll wait for the other person so you don't just automatically get pulled out of something.
Mm-hmm.
Which is cool.
It's handled really well.
Yeah.
That's cool.
And your loot is your own.
Mm-hmm.
Like just like Diablo 3.
Okay.
They were doing it first. Snowblind.
Well, yeah. Hey.
But that loot system, like you said though, is really good. There's a ton of it. Ton of loot. And all of it is—it looks different every time you put something on your guy.
Cool.
And the graphics are pretty good too. And it's got that mature tone of like the movies.
Well, yeah. So, and I mean, with the movies, they obviously avoided the blood and some of the blood and some of the severing. But there's heads come off. You know, heads roll.
This is much bloodier than
much
the
bloodier
movies.
Than that. Yeah, that's kind of cool because I mean, you know, the Lord. It's a dark freaking universe. You know, and just in the movies, which were PG-13, they did a really good job of skirting past that. I think while still having a big epic movie that everybody could watch. But I always wondered, what would this be like if it was like the action and the gore of like Braveheart?
Well, I was playing the dwarf and I had a big axe and I chopped off so many legs.
See, that's
what it feels. Yeah, I mean, that's a good comparison. Is the battle scenes for Braveheart?
Oh, cool.
Like,
yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's really awesome. Do you ever? I remember in Conquest where there was the big animals and you had the quick time events to try to climb up the big elephants.
No,
and you had to take
no,
down.
No
nothing
quick time
like that.
Events that I can think of.
Not as far as we got in, but I'm sure they don't add them in halfway through the game.
Okay.
That'd be weird.
That's cool. Well, that sounds awesome, actually. So,
and then you're like going back to city hubs to like buy and sell stuff and turn in quests, and that caught me off guard. I mean, basically,
is there crafting too?
I didn't see any crafting. There's the blacksmith that can repair your stuff.
Okay,
but
okay.
I don't think we were collecting gems for socketing things.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Oh,
yeah. Socketing. Yeah.
So it is deep. That's
So that was kind of cool.
You've got sockets. It's deep. Yeah. No sockets. Eh.
The other bonus that I had completely forgotten about in the Lord of the Rings universe is there's a fucking eagle in this game. Okay, and like
Buddy Eagle.
My Lord of the Rings background is purely the movies, and I told this to Josh. I was like, wow, when I saw the eagle in the movie, you know, I actually thought there's a scene where the eagle kind of rescues Gandalf, and I thought Gandalf had shrunk himself down to ride on an eagle.
Right.
No, these are big fucking eagles.
Yeah.
And they talk. like with their mouths. Well, and
but not just that, but extremely proper English.
Yeah.
like the guy, the voice actor for this eagle is he's like, this is like an old British guy with I mean, very proper yeah, dialect, you know. I mean, like, I would love to listen to this guy, like, just read me bedtime stories.
See, that's...
But he's a gigantic fucking eagle, and his eyes, bird eyes, are moving around. Oh, he's twitching and shit, and his feathers are moving, and it's like, so he still moves like a bird. It's like they mo-capped of the bird, just like a real freaking bird. It is really, really that, weird. It's
the,
awesome.
The eagles are why I'm so excited for The Hobbit, because I remember The Hobbit animated movie.
Yeah,
the,
yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Man, that'll be a cool scene.
It was just, you know, for I'm guessing a lot of people that don't know, just like Justin, like, that don't know the lore and stuff like that. You just want, it'll catch you off guard.
Yeah.
And it's just, like, right there in your face. He just, like, showed me, like, oh, you know, he's like, you know, thank you for rescuing me or whatever. Like, you're like, what the, oh, it's talking, but yeah. Not just that, but he's like.
But he's still an eagle, but.
Yeah, like,
and he's your
the?
Bud. That's, yeah. You know, yeah. That's very patriotic.
Just that's pretty cool. Kind of
put that in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bald Eagle.
So, I mean, this is just one of those games that
awesome.
It really should not have been released in the holiday season. It got no. lost.
So
it's, you know, it's not the most the greatest game, but it's a solid co-op hack and slash experience. Like it's a really fun game to play.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it didn't get any kind of good buzz around it. It didn't get any negative buzz, but it was just kind of out there, and it might get written off as just another Lord of the Rings game, but,
mm-hmm.
You know, this is... We had a blast.
Well, I can't think of another game.
Snowblind. I don't think Snowblind's done a game this generation.
But generally, like, with the Xbox 360, I mean, that's not a common... Mm-hmm. I mean, I
not
can't...
Not besides, like, the 2D brawlers, like, that's... Yeah. This and this is, you know, full 3D.
I mean, well, like Marvel Ultimate Alliance or something would be the closest yeah. You know, and like I can think of. That. I don't know if I would ever want to play this single player.
Right.
But the co-op is really fun.
We finished.
And it's like $20.
Yeah, we finished, and right, I was just like, I want to go buy Josh Lee a copy just so he doesn't have the excuse to say that he doesn't own it so we can finish this online.
Yeah.
And, but also, don't underestimate the other reason I picked this game out was because it supported split-screen multiplayer, which isn't always a given with games these days. And it was a good couch co-op game, which is what we were looking for. Mm. So.
Cool.
Yeah, I was just pleasantly surprised by War in the North. The
couch is always integral to a mandate.
Can I ask a couple questions about this?
Yeah. No.
Go for it.
Ethan, Josh is the host, and he said yes. Okay, number one, at $20, Justin, would you say it's a buy?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. Number two, Josh, where does it sit in the lore, like in the time frame?
It is right smack in the middle of... The Lord of the first book, I think.
Fellowship.
Lord
yeah.
of the Rings. Yeah.
In the Fellowship. Okay.
Yeah. During the Fellowship. Yeah.
Number three, can you do 11sies?
No. There are no playable hobbits. And so far, we haven't run into. Have we seen? No, there's like a shopkeeper dude.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's the only hobbit we've run into.
Because we were at the Prancing Pony talking to Aragorn before he met up with.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Before he met up with Gandalf.
Like the day before.
Yeah, yeah. But So that's the very beginning of the game. So we're running kind of parallel. I don't know, as we go forward, the game isn't just constantly giving you updates like, where's the Fellowship at?
Right.
They don't do that.
Oh, okay.
Which is cool because they don't have to just keep calling back to the story that you know. It's actually kind of decent. But there are, like, did we see Gandalf?
Yeah, we saw Gandalf.
Okay, we saw Gandalf.
So we made it to Elrond. Rivendell.
Yeah, yep. Because we were rolling around with Elrond's twin sons.
Yeah.
Okay.
Elendir and Elrohar. I can't remember their. God damn it.
Elrond one and Elrond two.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah. So you know, there. That's you know, that's all in the books and stuff, right? So
I think the whole plot is basically we've got to take care of the war on this front because. If the enemy gets through here, they can come back and still get us from behind or something.
So there's this, the main bad guy is like the, is he like the Witch King's
He said he was
right hand,
the right hand.
Right hand of the right hand, basically.
Yeah. Is that the left hand? Two right?
He's the left hand. He's basically the left hand of Sauron. So yeah, this dude is, he's, you know, he's a real bad guy, but he's in the north and he's doing sinister shit, and you know, there's a bunch of orcs and stuff, and we're fighting undead.
We also brought up the map, and we were we were trying to figure out where the hell the north was, and it's basically kind of around Bree and north of that, but like it's kind of the starting area of the Fellowship versus like every map I've seen is kind of skewed, so
Yeah, it's like not. It's really not that far north. It's more west of the stuff than anything, right?
Yeah,
it's kind of like a little bit northwest of the.
I thought we'd just be in the mountains all the time.
It's kind of a topography issue at that point, or cartography issue at that point. Then,
yeah.
I really didn't know the map as well as I thought.
I think the title is still accurate.
Okay,
so.
Yeah.
It'd be really big if they screwed that up.
Well, in parentheses, and a little bit west. It'd be a little bit more accurate.
War to the Northwest should have been the name of it. So, yeah, I thought it was cool, too, man. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
I mean, I knew it was going to be fun just because the two of us were playing it. Like, I knew we were going to enjoy whatever we did, but, like, the whole time I kept going, like, holy shit, I think this is good.
Yeah.
Is this? Yeah, it's pretty good. I think it's good.
6 hours later, yeah.
Yeah, so how far we got into it? Like 6 hours?
According to Raptor.
Okay.
That's how long we played.
So, and we saw stuff. I mean, there was a lot of cool, you know, some set piece kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And
fucking Eagles.
Yeah. Go. Yeah, it's $20 or less. You got it. What did you say it was?
17.
Oh, wow. Best Buys.
Yeah.
Pretty good stuff. JP, you want to go next there, man?
Yeah, I can go next. Let's talk about Gears of War 3. I recently, on Friday, played some multiplayer with my super gaming best friend forever, Brandon Coppernoll. We ended up playing some horde mode, got hung up on level 40 or level 39 boss, whatever it is, and then ended up completing beast mode, which I'm not a big fan of beasts. I don't know. Compared to horde mode, I think beast mode is very good.
Oh,
It's hard.
It is hard.
It is tough. Horde mode hipster.
Yeah.
James and Brandon and I ripped through Beast pretty quick. By like, I think it was level 9, Brandon had bought the Berserker, and it was done.
When did you get to that? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we had Brandon running around, and then I was just
on the streets
like,
these days.
It got a little easy at that point. And then I also ended up completing Rom's Shadow the next day after that, so... I enjoyed it. I liked playing as General Rom. It was pretty badass, to be honest with you. I think the boss fight for that was a little bit better than the final boss fight at the end of the game. But I think that, I don't know, as you guys know, I hold a candle to General Rom at the end of the first Gears of War. I still think that's the best boss fight of this generation.
Okay, so you're saying the boss fight at the end of Gears 3. That's what you're comparing.
Yes, at the end of Gears 3. I still think that the boss fight at the end of the first Gears is probably one of the best. Like, if we ranked the best boss fights of this generation, I would vote for that as number one every single time.
Did you feel that badass playing as Rom?
It's been a while. We can spoil this. Exactly, what's that boss battle look like?
At the end of Gears 1?
Yeah.
You're on the train with... I think you're on the train with Dom, because that's when it was still just two people. But you're on that train car that's moving, and you've basically got, like, all these fortifications... And Rom is just throwing like his krill shot at you, and you have to keep dodging and try to shoot him while he's dodging it. And I swear he takes like 1,000 bullets before you can even put him down.
And JP and I have talked about that boss fight a little bit. There's just something inherently old school about the challenge of it that that we kind of like.
It made me put that game down 2 months. I got so frustrated with it.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm serious. It was just like you would just pummel the guy when he didn't have a shield on him, and you're just like, is he ever going to die? So, then, you know, when you get to the end of the boss fight on this one, he ends up hopping on a Reaver and starts flying around, and he can actually throw, like, ink at you that has krill in it. So it makes it a little more challenging that you have to dodge his ink shots but still hit him when he's open.
I thought you were playing as General Rom in this DLC.
You do. You do play as General Rom for, I think, 2 missions.
Oh, okay.
And it's pretty cool. But I mean, he's really only got 2 things, which is the krill shot, and then you can stab people with his enormous knife. But, you know, really, it's more about the, I think it's Alpha. No, it's Zeta Squad, which you play as, which has a couple of characters that aren't really relevant to the storyline right now. Maybe they will be in Judgment. But then... And you run across Jace for the first time, which I don't really care where Jace came from.
Well, the
from.
Two characters were in that comic book or the book series, I believe.
Right.
I think you're right, Ethan, that it was the book
it's
series.
It's the cigar-chomping dude with the beard, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, with the bald guy, right.
Seating hairline.
Yeah. And then
I don't remember any of these people.
Well, yeah, because...
It's just DLC stuff.
Yeah, some of the novelization.
Have you played any of the other DLC?
That was the only one, wasn't it?
There was some horde mode type additions, but...
Yeah, but as far as story missions...
I thought there were two.
This was it, as far as story goes. I thought everything else was just horde additions and maps.
I don't know. I haven't looked that close. I subscribed to the season pass and didn't use any of it. No.
Well, I refuse to download it because they won't let you minimize the download window. Like, you have to sit there and let it download while you're watching it.
So we know that this is... You said at the boss fight, you're basically replaying the boss fight from Gears 1?
No, it's a completely unique boss fight. You're still fighting Rom, but it's a completely unique boss fight.
But I mean, like the set piece, kind of the train thing and the outcome and all that stuff are the same?
Not really. Mm. I mean, you want me to just say?
Well, I don't know. I don't know, like, how.
I don't think it's on a train, but he's. Where's this at in the
General Rom is not. Say, he's not in Gears 3, right? I mean,
yeah.
He doesn't make it.
Oh, you're trying to get the ending to 1. Yeah, he's. Yeah, he's done in 1.
I mean, you die in, like, is
it... No, I'm guessing then this timeline, if he dies in Gears of War 1, this has to be before Gears 1 is where
this
is, right?
Yeah, this is...
I mean,
this is
I don't want to... Yeah. I was tiptoeing.
I was going to say, because this isn't right after E-Day, because they didn't have chainsaws on their guns.
Yeah,
that
was way back, right.
Oh, okay.
Whatever the capital of their main city was, it's the fall of that city is what this is based around. And so really the focus of the Zeta team is to evacuate all the civilians and get them out of this city before it basically turns into a giant sinkhole. Because, you know, all of the locusts are just coming out and assaulting at that point.
But you had fun with this, though?
I thought it was fun. I mean, it was entertaining to play as the other side of Rom, because, I mean, he is a total badass and still is to this day. But, you know, I think fighting him at the end of the DLC was more fun than fighting the boss at the end of Gears of War 3.
Or 2, for that matter.
Well, 2 didn't really have a boss fight, though. Can we kind of agree on that?
It was like a cutscene that you kind of interacted with.
I mean, at the end of 2, I kind of felt like it was just an elongated mission, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Wasn't Gears 2 kind of, did it feel kind of like Halo 2? And it's just, you knew it was sitting right in the middle of a bigger story.
Yeah. As opposed to Gears 1 had it.
Except it wasn't as purposely split up as Halo.
Well,
Halo 2.
Yeah,
no. Sure. You guys aren't going to get done with this anytime soon, so make this 2 games.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, to be honest with you though, like, Gears is still Gears and it's still fun. And honestly, I wasn't one of the people that was down on the announcement of a new Gears of War last month. Yeah, it's new month. So last month, I'm actually excited for it. I'll play it. I like Lacey, think it's one of the better franchises to come out of this console psycho. So
I'm not down on the new one, but I just don't get it. Like, I don't understand what it adds to the universe. Like, maybe a prequel. I would have been a little bit more excited about a prequel, but this just sounds like
it is a prequel.
It is,
yeah.
But not like a prequel, like without any of these people. Like, I want to go way back. Like, well, I want to go way back.
Did you hear why they didn't go way back?
No chainsaws.
Yeah,
they said no chainsaws.
They could have incorporated it somehow or something else. So what's an axe? Put an axe in the end.
Isn't
it?
Right.
it was something.
But to Ethan's point, I think it would have been interesting to explore the storyline of how they figured out
knife.
From E-Day to actually fight.
I mean, everybody thought they'd go to the Pendulum Wars and you know, but this is also the holdover for the next generation. I'm unoffended by it, but at the same time, you know, I'll get it to get it, but I'm not gonna like praise the game and the series for that game.
So. I'm sure it'll be fine.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Hey, look at Halo. They did, what, 4 total games before they actually reached Halo 4, which is supposed to be like a new entry to that story, like legitimate entry.
At least they're not calling it Gears of War 4. This is one of those. I get really hung up on when they actually number the game, and this one, no, the subtitle, that's fine.
like myself and Assassin's Creed, right?
Yeah.
Gears of War 3 is the best game that I'm sick of.
That's our fault, though.
Greatest.
We made you marathon through it for the review, and then we literally had a marathon the next month where we played through the horde mode.
Well, this I don't think I'm gonna play this, but I know I'll play Judgment. Like, I wonder, though, if there's... Because it sounds kind of like you in the timeline, this is maybe... this kind of line up maybe a little bit with the Judgment timeline?
Maybe.
Parts of it?
I'm not sure.
I don't know enough details from Judgment, but if it is, if it's like... if there's any callbacks to the DLC, because I like to see that stuff
first.
And
I bet they do more... I bet they do more with that Zeta team, too. Yeah. But, like, I can see me going back to play this... as I start to get excited for Judgment, so
well, you know what'll get me back
since I already bought
into
it,
the DLC. Well, yeah, you don't, yeah, you yeah. Know, there's no purchase decision there, but I really want to do Horde mode again, like because the last time we did that was almost a year ago, and I really want to do that.
I could be tricked into that.
I still have nightmares of that, like I really do.
I didn't get to beat it. We got stuck on 48 or 49 or whatever.
Yeah, but you guys were playing hardcore one.
Yeah, oh, of course we were.
Yeah. Well,
of course.
Had the payoff for you. Are you still frustrated a year later?
You know what I. Like, the next day, I was going like, man, I really want to get back in there.
You were too tired to be playing that game at that point. You were like, God. I was scared.
Was
like, I was
too tired to socialize with another human being.
It was about 9 a.m. in that marathon that that's when I just wanted to die. I was like, I don't care. I don't care about these people playing games over here. I started to just not care about the charity side of the event at that point.
Oh, you really didn't. You stopped caring about children, like, in general.
Yeah, I was like, I don't care what happens to these people. I don't care. They can stare at the walls.
This is our super gaming best friend, Josh Lee.
But you know what? Ethan came over to me, and he said, Josh, he's like, you've got to do this, man. If you don't get up, if you don't get over here and finish this... These kids, man, they're
it's very Doc and Little Mac moment here.
Actually, Justin's girlfriend came at the perfect time and actually saved the day because she brought, I don't remember,
like stuff.
Oh,
croissant.
Shit. Those
she
things.
Saved, yeah, she saved the marathon.
Delicious
like,
breakfast.
Yeah, it's like croissants,
items.
Meat, the cheesy potato stuff, hash browns.
Oh.
And
all,
yeah.
All right. Hey, Josh.
Yo.
So, for a little bit more clarification on the DLC, you play as Zeta Squad, you have to evacuate Yima City, I don't know how to pronounce that.
Oh, yeah, you're right, yep.
And you protect the citizens from the Locust Krill Storm. So basically, in the ROM portions of it, you're initiating that Krill Storm.
Cool.
Because if you remember in the first one, there was like...
Do I have a choice?
If you ran around in the dark, the Krill would come after you, and then it kind of went away after that.
I'm so glad the mechanic went away for the sequel.
Worst. That was the absolute worst. But basically what he's doing is he's initiating the Krill Storm so that they can just... run the city and do whatever they want, I guess. So
you're evacuating people. You don't have... Do you have escort missions?
There are no... No, it's
okay,
just... It's
God.
A standard
that would be awful.
Mission where it's cover to cover, checkpoint to checkpoint.
Okay.
You know what would be cool, though? An escort mission where you're escorting, like, 1,000 people.
Escorts. Oh.
No, but just imagine...
Wait, am I escorting you, or are you like escorting me? Who does the escorting here?
You know, picture, like, you get this giant, just, like, mob of people in, you know, in the streets, and you're just, like, a squad of dudes, and you're trying to corral them all, and so...
Are you asking for a Gears of War Pikmin game?
Yeah, I was gonna say, that's what it sounds like.
What was that game
Come on, you son of a...
What was that game on PSN? It was, like, the time...
Marcus Phoenix.
God damn it.
What was that? Write that down. There's gonna be a Photoshop with that one.
What was that game on the PSN? It was like a top down view of a city, like bird's eye view.
Oh.
Yeah, it was like a zombie outbreak or something. You're trying to lead these people.
The last man.
Use the Google Map stuff.
Yeah, but instead you're like on the ground and you have like a death toll at the top of the screen.
That was the sound of the death toll going to zero.
And we'll just watch everyone get murdered.
Hey guys, come on! I mean,
like, how do you like herding sheep?
That's actually a good name for a game. Watch everyone get murdered.
Wow,
that's like my online multiplayer experiences.
No,
yeah,
no.
That's exactly. I was gonna say that's what it would look like.
Anyways, all right. Well, yeah, thanks JP for bringing that up because. That's something I think probably fell off a lot of people's radars,
mm-hmm. Yeah,
including
probably.
All of ours.
Is that
here?
The theme of the show tonight?
Yeah, maybe so.
It might be.
Maybe so. Yeah,
if we
yeah.
had a theme. Yeah.
All right. Well, you want to stick with that theme, Ethan? You got something?
Actually, I have a big disappointment game.
Oh, okay. That works
so I'll
too.
Go with that. So I have a gift card to GameStop, and I saw Silent Hill Downpour, and Josh actually had some nice things to say about it, and I really wanted to play that game. And I only had $30 on my gift certificate. So I went home and I played Silent Hill Homecoming because I I have it on my my Steam account, and I just haven't played it, and I thought, you know, I've heard a lot of bad things about it. I'm going to give it a chance because I really just, I need to play that type of game right now. Like, I've been playing a lot of, you know, Diablo 3. Diablo 3.
Oh, you said it a third way wrong.
I'm not even going to say it. Diablo. You know what game I'm playing. I've been trying to get back into my backlog and try to play some games. And I saw it was looking at me kind of like, hey, Ethan, it's me. Yeah, you know, I'm not a nice person. And I was like, okay, let's see what we got. Oh, man. Bad. That game's bad. Like, it's worse than I thought it was going to be when people talked about how bad it was. Like, that's literally how bad it was.
I don't know which one this is because they all blur together after two.
This is the most recent one before Downpour.
Yeah. Up to that point, was it the only one on this generation of consoles?
No.
Yes. The Room.
The Room? And
then The Room was on PS2 and...
It was?
I believe.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure. Maybe not. I could
Origins
be wrong about that.
Origins begot a PS2... Well, nope. That's... Nope.
Yeah, that was...
That was a PSP, and PSP then it got a port to PS2.
And then Wii was...
well, timeline-wise, it makes sense.
Damn, you're right.
Now.
Wow. It just... Yeah. It doesn't seem the like... It has been
because,
that long.
Just because they released like 9 of them at once or tried to and failed.
Yeah.
It's weird.
And they all kind of went in weird different directions. But this one went in a crappy direction. Not even weird.
This was a different team though, right?
I believe so. It was... Oh, damn it. Oh, I didn't write that down. But
other people.
It was an action-oriented team, and that's what they tried to do, but the action's crap. Like, it's really bad. It's really...
That's what you want in a Silent Hill game.
The weapon-breaking system was like their thing, right? They were like, oh, you can use all this different stuff, but it all breaks.
When has that ever worked?
I don't even think I got to that point.
Oh.
Like that's literally like, just because how the game, the pacing's really bad, just really bad. And it's almost like there's hallway set up. And in the original games, there was all this cool set piece type stuff, this creepy stuff, you know, and you walk through these hallways in the very beginning of this game, and it's just a recycled room. Like, you walk down this hall, like, I've been down this hall, but no, wait a second. No, I haven't been. There's an iron lung in every freaking room of this little hospital that you begin. An iron lung.
What kind of hospital is this?
It's a psychiatric hospital. Why would you have an iron lung in a psychiatric hospital?
What does this have to do with a homecoming?
Okay. I don't know. Like, literally, you start out in this hospital, and then you wake up, and you've been sleeping. It was a dream sequence. But then, literally, you're this truck driver, and you arrive in this town that is not Silent Hill. It's not Silent Hill.
You're a truck driver in this?
No, you're not. You're a military guy. You're driving home with a truck driver. That's how it opens up the psychiatric hospital.
Origins, you were a truck driver.
Oh, I think it may have been... Was it the same guy? Yeah, it was.
Travis or something like that was his name?
He has a very small part in this. But so small that it doesn't make any sense because he just drives
Was it a red and white hat?
In a vest.
Yes.
Yes.
That's the guy.
Okay.
That's got to be the guy. No other truckers wear that.
I'm glad. Except for all of them. That's like their uniform.
Like sea bass.
Which, it doesn't, like, there's mystery to all the Silent Hill games. And you don't fully know exactly what's going on, but in this game you just show up in this town and everyone's gone and the fog's and there's fog out and no one on the street and you're just like, it's home, back home, everything's normal. And I mean,
surely that changes though.
Well, I'm assuming it does, but if I came to Columbus, Indiana, and a truck driver, one, that truck driver's a dick because he dropped me off in a demonic town, I'm not just go like, oh, hey, mom and dad, your house is empty and no one else is in Columbus, even though it's got a, you know, population of 60,000. What? I'd ask more questions than that. And I'm just my character, who's a military guy, who can't
military guy.
Use
that's a generic term. I know, but I'm sure the game just treats it the same way.
He's a ranger. I believe he's a ranger, which those are badasses. I mean, right, if you're an army ranger, you're a badass. And he can't even swing a knife or dodge, like, effectively. I mean, like, the action in the combat, which is
the
they
focus.
Were supposed to up it, bad. Like, really bad.
Awesome.
Puzzle elements, bad. Here's an x-ray. Find another x-ray.
So is this the game that everybody really started worrying about the series, or had this already happened?
They were worried at The Room, because The Room was weird.
Okay.
Well, there's a lot of people that didn't like Silent Hill 3.
That is true.
I wonder
that
about
true.
That.
But...
Because The Room seemed to be just like a hit or miss, acquired taste, but also an experiment, so don't worry about it.
Yeah, and The Room had enough merit to it, as opposed to where this one just threw everything out the window. Like, The Room was kind of going in a different direction from a narrative point of view, mm-hmm. whereas this one tried to kind of come back to Silent Hill-ish. It had some of the same enemies and that kind of stuff, but it lost the mechanics that made the defied the series. And I was pissed by the end of this. Like, I was really upset by the end of playing this game, because I was like, you know, not only did you bastardize the game, but you did it really poorly. You know, it's not like the combat mechanics or anything that I'd be like excited about. You know,
you have the good sense to bastardize my game.
Yeah,
do it
well. It's kind of like, you know, again, we make the
comparison to Resident Evil all the time. Resident Evil may have gotten a little bit more action oriented, but it was okay because it played well. This game plays awful. Okay.
Yeah,
awful.
That series evolved, and this one just kept getting clunkier and clunkier.
Lost its identity. I mean, I can't believe it came out this generation. Like, it doesn't look like it came out this generation. It looks like a hyped up PS2 version of a game, and that's just graphically, but how it controls as well. Like, the controls suck. Like, they're awful.
It's weird. This is a, man, as a series, Silent Hill only has probably, to each person who likes the series, probably a couple of good games.
Yeah.
That may vary a little bit, but it's probably going to be, you know, like, one, just for nostalgia reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Two, because that was something. That's, I think, when that they was kind of right. special.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And then, like, you're going to pick one other game. Like, for me, it would be Shattered Memories.
Mm.
Three was like, you know?
Yeah.
The Room, as an idea, was kind of okay. I don't know.
Yeah.
But, but Downpour. I really wish you just played Downpour. I mean, obviously you do now too. But
well, I'm going to now. Like, it gives me more motivation to do that because I want to, like, stank out of my mouth.
Yeah. I promise it's better than that crap.
Oh yeah. I can't imagine a game being worse.
This is, you know what?
Like, I really, like, at this point, this is one of the, and I'm going to say this right now, coming from someone who really liked Resident Evil Operation Raccoon City and everyone just, you know, panned that game, this is the worst game I've played in, like, the last year.
This is an opinion you can trust.
Yeah, you can trust this opinion. Yeah, it really is. But people, I hope, would agree with me on that. I don't know, but yeah, awful.
When Ethan says it sucks, you know it sucks because he likes games that suck.
Have you played that game yet?
With the game that sucks?
Yeah.
Which one?
You know. We're going to play that together. We're going to have a three-way...
I don't have my Kinect hooked up. I don't have my Kinect hooked up.
Yeah.
Is that what you're doing?
No.
Wow.
Yeah.
So get Downpour, though.
Oh, yeah. I'm definitely going to, because I want that.
There's no way after this you're not going to like that.
Oh, I was going
to... Because it's going to look like pure gold next to that crap.
Because the last Silent Hill game I played in depth was Silent Hill 2. So I have a crappy game in between to buffer... So now my expectations are really low, and I'm going to be able to get back.
Okay.
There. I meant to do that. Completely.
Can I make a confession?
Yes. You like
I've never
game.
Played a Silent Hill
oh,
game.
Oh, okay.
Me neither, JP. You're good.
Okay.
Oh, you've never played
I know that the couple on PlayStation and PlayStation 2 are, like, regarded as, I don't know, cult hits, I guess you will, but I always gravitated to Resident Evil.
That's my... I was so engrossed in the Nintendo 64 and never branched out to PlayStation. And just never went back to that game.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
See, I still had a Genesis at that time.
And then when Silent Hill 2, was that on PS2? Or was that still... No,
and Xbox One, I think it had a...
And it was like, well, then I got trapped in the, well, I haven't played the original. So once I play that, I'll play the next one, and I just never went back to do it. So that's my excuse.
The Silent Hill game... The Resident Evil games, there's this constant storyline from the first game to, you know, the latest that... You can follow a linear, like, line.
Yeah.
Silent Hill is more like reimagined every game almost. Yeah. There's some sequel stuff in there,
like Zelda.
A couple of them.
You could probably compare it to Zelda.
And it's the atmosphere that makes that series so compelling, or makes people want, like, and hope for the next game that comes out to be good every time. And then, you know, it's like, well, the gameplay kind of sucks, or this sucks, but gosh, it's so dark and weird and twisted. And
you never get comfortable in that game, ever. I get comfortable in Resident Evil. You get to a point where you have enough weapons, you're good, but this game, you never do, because you just feel like there's something that's going to just, you know, kick you right in the ass really quick. So.
Yeah, and it is kind of a unique setting, too. Mm-hmm. Like, that's something you never saw, I don't think. Like, it's not Lovecraftian, although it has elements of just, like, on paper.
Combined,
but it doesn't feel like that.
Lovecraft and Clive Barker.
Yes.
That's probably the best.
That's pretty good. Yeah. That's
some Love Barker.
Because it's really weird.
Not going to be used with the Price is Right fan club.
Love Barker. Oh, shit. Okay. Let's move on from there. Thank you for ending that. I played some games.
Good.
Video games.
What?
Would you guys like to hear about Spec Ops The Line?
I actually really would.
This is a game, and I did not think I was going to end up playing this, but Amazon.com game downloads PC version $25.
What? It just came out.
That's a good sign.
Yeah.
It.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yes, that just came out.
Yeah.
What, two weeks ago?
2 weeks ago, yeah.
So this is a third-person shooter, cover-based.
I think I've played this.
Yes, you have. You absolutely have. As far as the controls go and the, you know, way you shoot enemies and stuff, it is competent in that regard.
Do you play as General Rom?
You play as Nolan North.
Oh, God. Seriously?
It is Nolan North.
Is it just,
again,
is it just the Nolan North voice?
It's just Nolan North being a soldier.
Yeah.
So he's not cracking wise. Yeah. So it's Nathan Drake without the wisecracks. That's it. It's Nolan North, which I'm okay with because I like that guy's voice.
Yeah, he's got a good voice.
Yeah. Which, okay, just as an aside, he's also the ranger in Lord of the Rings War in the North.
But he's got like this.
Well, that makes sense.
He's got a little bit of like an English accent or something.
Well, like it's actually pretty heavy because at first we didn't. I was going, wait a minute, and we were like an hour into the game, and I'm like, hang on, I get my phone out and I look it up, like. Holy shit.
You're kind of insulting Nolan North by able to identify him when he's using the English accent.
I like it when I get fooled by Nolan North. Like the penguin shit.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, this was kind of fooling me, too.
Nolan won't be fooling you. You be fooling you. Is that why it was called War in the North, then?
I never... Oh, my God. I didn't... How did I put that together? Anyways...
Special Nolan Northwest,
based on a short story by Nolan North.
Back to the special operations line. So you're in. You probably saw this set up for the trailer.
Real quick, Spec Ops, is that a series of games?
Yes.
Okay.
And I don't think this has anything to do with any of the others.
Yeah, that's why it was confusing.
And this took forever to come out, and I don't know. It's got some troubled development history or something. I don't really know anything about. You're in Dubai in like near future. Giant sandstorm hits Dubai. Like really, really, really,
like
really
the
big.
Song? Does that play ever?
No.
That'd be great. If
Tom Cruise in this at all?
Yeah, I was gonna say, this is a scene from Ghost Protocol, right?
Nope. Yeah. It's like that. But
what Dubai jokes do we have?
So before, I think that's probably.
Do they have that?
Do not buy this game.
What's that, JP?
Sorry, JP.
That like that slope, that indoor slope, you can go skiing on.
Yeah, right.
Oh, yeah.
There are a lot of slopes because the entire city is about halfway filled up with sand.
There's nothing more exciting in gaming environments than sand.
Yeah.
Wasn't that Rage?
Actually, you know what? The environment itself is pretty cool. Like, Dubai is kind of neat. It's super high tech. It's super tall. And it's, you know, you're in the middle of nowhere.
The city is super tall.
It is really fucking tall.
So is the challenge in this game that he keeps drawing the line in the sand, but the sandstorm keeps blowing?
Oh, my God. I wish it was. It would be more interesting.
Don't you dare cross that line.
It's really that. What was the Conrad story? Heart of Darkness. It's pretty much that. It's Apocalypse Now. Same thing, right?
Yeah. So this is based on something. It was based on something.
Yeah.
Else.
Pretty much. Cool. Pretty much. I heard someone else say this too. So it wasn't. It's not just me. This is right. Before the game opens, the 33rd Army Division or whatever. Gets sent to Dubai after this giant sandstorm as a rescue mission to try to get people out. Humanitarian kind of thing.
It's nice of them.
They get bogged down in there. It's bad. The weather keeps being bad. Soldiers are stuck in there.
It's tall.
And shit kind of hits the fan. The army loses contact with them. Like, what the hell's going on?
So in Dubai?
The storm's bad. Storm's real bad. Yeah. So they're like, you know, we got to send Nolan North and two other guys in to find out what happened to this entire army division and all the civilians. So then that's how the game opens. Like, you show up and, this guy that's in charge, General Conrad or whatever.
Is it Tom Skerritt? I imagine it's Tom Skerritt.
I don't know. Okay. I don't know who it is. I've heard his voice a few times, but I don't know who it is. That would be cool though.
Yeah, it would be cool.
So you're in there trying to find this guy, Conrad. This guy's in charge there, and try to figure out what's going on. And Nolan North knows this guy. He's like, you know, he's a good man. He keeps saying he's a good guy. He's a good guy. He's a good guy. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive. I just keep thinking like, whoop, it's gonna. I keep guessing at the story. I don't know where the story goes, but I'm like, whoop, I bet he's in control. He actually flipped. He's, you know, he's what's the guy? You know, Marley. He's Brando.
Oh yeah.
He's gone Brando.
Mm-hmm.
The gameplay, like I said, is very, very standard third-person shooter. I mean, I can't emphasize that enough. It doesn't do anything really different. It's got sand physics, I guess, would be the one thing that it does. So there are times in the levels where, and it's very obvious usually when this happens, where there's glass that sand is up against. And you can shoot the glass, and the sand comes pouring into the room, and it kills the dudes that are underneath it.
If you mess it up, can you rewind time?
Nope. No. It's funny. No.
It's not the Matrix?
No. No. What? No. It's really, it's pretty mature storyline. A lot of people end up dying. You shoot civilians, there's no penalty. It's kind of bloody, a lot of spurts. Pop someone in the head, and they just, they fall down kind of realistically, and it's kind of, you know, it's kind of like, ooh, it's real gritty. Like, I mean, I'm maybe kind of desensitized to video game violence. Some people I've heard say, you know, like, oh, this game, it's so dark, and maybe the story actually goes there at some point. Mm-hmm. So far, it's like, yeah, it's kind of, you know, man, it's pretty serious, but, you know, it's not like a real, I'm seeing like real people. It's still a video game, so I'm not like, you know, shit in my pants. But, I don't know if I'm interested enough to find out where the rest of it goes. I do like the city itself. I like, you know, and the setup. I don't mind that there's sand somehow. You know, it's like, it's another brown shooter. And like, I don't really care. It's okay. I'm actually okay with that. If the story is good enough or the gameplay is actually like fun enough and it's just, you know, get behind this cover, shoot some dudes. Uh-oh, your cover's gone. Hold down A to rush to the next one. Leap over this cover. You're out of ammo. Pick up one of the guns in the level. That's it. You're just shooting dudes. Well, maybe if there were creatures. If this turned into, like, if there was, like, a rancor or some zombies, maybe. I don't know. Something. Give me something.
Well, the storyline was what was getting kind of a lot of the attention because it was dark, but they were also maybe crossing some lines. No pun intended, but the people kind of reacted. I remember reading an article a year ago where people were kind of like, eh, you're kind of pushing it on that. So have you encountered any of, and I don't specifically, they didn't really go into that, but did you, you're desensitized. Yeah. But I mean, anything that you would think people outside the violence would say, well, maybe you shouldn't do that.
No, I mean, there are moments where, you know, just like some civilians maybe get shot or something, or there's some, you run into some other soldiers that were like stationed there. They're like shouting back and forth, like your guys are going like, you know, it's friendly, friendlies, friendlies, you know, and they're like, the other guys are shooting at you and they're like, what the hell? Why are they shooting? It's like, Nolan North's like, you know, you gotta shoot them or they're gonna shoot us. And so you know, you're shooting, it's kind of messed up. You're like, oh my God, soldiers killing soldiers.
Yeah. Ah. Okay.
You know, there's some of that where you're like, you're shooting U.S. soldiers.
Yeah.
Like, oh shit. You know, yeah. I mean, but it's not like, in context, though, it's like, it's kind of, so they're like gone rogue or whatever. Yeah. Maybe I'm just too desensitized to this in video games, but like, I didn't ever feel like it was really, no line puns. Like, it was really not pushing that envelope.
There you go.
I don't know. I don't know. I'm sure like a lot of people, though, are really going to like this story.
So what?
I just the gameplay and stuff is like, I've seen too much of this before to really grab me.
Yeah. Why did this
it's
game,
well done though?
Why did this game take so long?
I don't know because
sand physics.
I didn't get to try the multiplayer, but everybody that I know that's got this game says it's not good at all.
So maybe that was why they were trying to make it bad.
But the story stuff or the campaign, like it's really it's competent, you know, in all regards, and it's not a bad game by any means.
Sounds
it's
like just, another Homefront type of. Slight misfire.
Definitely a step up from that.
Okay. Yeah.
But, I don't know, just something that's not grabbing me personally, I think.
Well, I almost want to give the game credit for taking a military shooter into that direction.
Yeah.
I don't think it doesn't sound like it was enough, but, and I think why it took long is I remember articles coming out where basically, and I could be wrong on this, but this is what I think the gist of it was, because of shooting the American soldiers, they were getting a lot of pushback, and so they were kind of having some rewrites with maybe the script or something like that. I want to look that up and double check, but I remember there was a lot of issues with that. So outside of probably game type development stuff, but I pretty much remember there was somebody had an issue about it.
Well, there was another game though you might be thinking of too, from another series of war games that has a title that I don't remember right now.
Was it Spec Ops 2? No, I don't remember.
There was another game though that got like, but it was like in Afghanistan or something, and then that got pulled because.
Well, that was
you're not thinking of that, right?
No. That was okay. One that was about where the American soldiers were the bad guys, and you were playing as I think I know what you're talking about. You were actually playing.
I mean, you know, maybe I could see where there, you know, people would get upset, I guess, but it's a video game. Yeah. And again, it's a story. And it's a story that's been done before.
Yeah.
So it, I don't see why you'd get too mad about it.
Yeah. I just hate sand physics, man.
Unless you're not Brando fans. I don't
know. Yeah.
Yeah, you just hate sand. I hate sand. It gets into everything.
It does.
It really. Could you imagine that?
It's so coarse.
A sandstorm. You're having sex on the beach, and then a sandstorm.
Well, this is like that fine, dusty sand. I don't,
oh, it's even worse.
It's
not like the glassy feeling type stuff.
I hear like from friends that have been overseas, and I guess all the dust or all the sand when you go overseas is
different
sand.
Yeah, it's different sand. It's serious
than the America sand.
Yeah, well, that's what
serious sand. Third encounter.
Serious sand.
Oh, could you imagine?
I don't know. I don't know shit about sand in Dubai, dude. No. I don't even know where Dubai is.
Why are you even talking?
United Arab Emirates.
I don't know where United Arab Emirates is.
They have an island. They've assembled.
I'll give you a guess of what continent. I'll give you one guess.
Asia.
Oh, you might be right.
I don't know where Asia is.
Asia's huge.
It's in the Middle Great Eastern band. Part of Asia.
Anyways, I don't have a globe. All right, so
but yeah, now I did notice that when I walked in. Where's your globe?
It's Google Maps or Google Earth. That's my globe.
It's not really a globe.
Apparently, I'm a PhD in geography now.
Yeah,
PhD in Google.
Yeah,
that sounds. I know what you're doing.
Like a Google PhD. I hear you clicking.
Justin, talk about a game that was made your day.
Made my day.
Yeah.
Oh, so I just finished The Walking Dead episode 2.
Ethan just.
I did like a thing.
So I've been trying to figure out how to talk about this because so Josh is going to wait out this series and play them all at once.
I wish he wouldn't. I want to talk to you about it.
So I love the first episode, and admittedly, as time went on in between for the wait for episode 2, I began to get nervous as far as taking so long. What are they second guessing themselves? I mean, maybe the game wasn't as good as I thought. I don't know what's going to happen. Yeah. Oh, it's out now because they literally announced the release date. Like 2 days before it actually came out. Anyway, from the get-go, episode 2 immediately had my attention. And they do... This game is all about the story. I will say that the methods that Telltale is using to tell the story, like the kind of... I mean, every story scene has to be kind of cut and pasted together based on what characters you still have alive and the choices you've made. And I'm starting to see some of those seams as far as how the scenes are getting stitched together, so that but it wasn't enough to deter me because the story's so good, and I like the variety in I don't want to call it action because it's still, you know, very, it's not a true action game, but the variety of activities you're doing to move things along is really interesting, and I really like these characters and at least what I'm doing with my character. So
without throwing too many spoilers out,
we'll do our best.
Can you just like give me a rough idea of like something that's going on? You know, give me like a location or just a story beat that isn't going to be, you know.
So a lot of this has revolved around. So you don't really know the background of your character too much, but shortly after everything shit goes down, you come across a little girl, and you kind of have the choice of either kind of taking her under your wing, or I don't know what the option.
Like begrudgingly taking her under your wing.
Exactly.
just your attitude.
My character is very attached to this little girl.
Yeah, so is mine.
And from there on out, it's about meeting other survivors and figuring out how the group survives and like who your friends and enemies are within that group. And then, so that's kind of... Game episode 1 is getting to know a core group, and then episode 2 introduces other groups of people, and things evolve from there. So, and then it's basically your choices as far as what type of environment you're going to try to survive in and hold up in as your base, and then what do you do when you start running out of supplies or other things start happening, and you have to start branching out and meeting new groups of people and trying to figure out whether or not you can trust them.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. That's cool. Yeah. That happens in 2, though, like the kind of the meeting the other people.
You kind of have this core group by the end of 1, but you have to meet them in 1. And then now your group's been holed up for a while, but...
A lot of tension. Like, are people like...
There's tension,
you know,
and there's resources are low.
Yeah.
There's a fight for leadership.
People?
Yeah, all the time.
Yeah?
All,
yeah.
Or you
okay.
can.
Yeah.
I mean...
Yeah, there's yeah.
And I will say, like, coming... And I said this during...
kind of my comments on episode one, but coming off of the way that I was playing Mass Effect, which was the only thing I can compare it to as far as like story choices carrying over, and I was very deliberate in my character as far as I played it Renegade all the way and only made the bad choice. This one, I feel really free by the system that they give you to make choices, because every time a choice comes up, you have a time limit to make your decision, so I just react from the gut and I'm going with it. Yeah. And I haven't done that in games. I don't know if that's a tribute to this game or just the way I'm tired of playing so linear in one direction.
You feel the same way though, Ethan?
Yeah, it makes you feel uneasy in the beginning, but then you realize, you know what, you've got to go with it.
Yeah.
And if you want to do something different, you can replay it and play it differently. But yeah, I mean, you are acting like you probably would. I mean, they've done this could be like a psychology like experiment. Like, they've really done a good job of bringing in this human element that's what the show was like, that was the graphic novel was like. Yeah. And I mean, and it's nuts.
There's nothing like your best intentions just completely blowing up in your face.
Yeah.
And
so you're feeling guilt.
Oh yeah.
You're getting angry.
The people,
or like I'll feel strong about a certain decision, but the people around me that have seen how it, like, they'll come in at the end of my action and not see why I'm making the decision. I'm like, oh shit, how did that look to them? Yeah. And
do they react realistically, like the other characters?
Yeah.
I mean,
they respond
based on their character,
to the stuff that
you
do. Yeah. Like, it's not just like, do you ever feel like the decisions you make don't matter to some of the, often does it branch?
The only thing I've seen so far, because I kind of turned on a character in this episode, that it almost seems like they remember your last action that affected them versus like, dude, like we were running together for so long, and then this one thing you disagree with me on, now you're just pissed at me.
That's what I'm waiting on, to see if all the little tiny nuanced actions actually contribute to something. I don't feel like that. Like, I do. I agree with you on that, but I'm waiting till like they remember something that happened two episodes ago.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, remember
so
when you did
be,
that?
Yeah, that'll
that's,
be.
Yeah.
But I think they're successful as far as how episode two has gone, and I'm more engrossed now, so I got that going for it. And also, I had a lot of fun when I would die out of the blue. Like,
yeah.
It's like, oh shit.
That happened more this time.
Yes. Yeah. I died a handful of times this time, so. I don't remember if I died in the first one, but
yeah, I don't
think I did.
A lot of action scenes then?
Struggles, yeah.
Yeah.
Struggles,
yeah.
Okay.
I was
going
to say struggles. Okay. Yeah, there's some struggles. And oh man, I want to yell like
letting me kind of pave the way to make sure what's safe to kind of talk about.
Yeah, because I'm just thinking, and I was worried going into it because I felt good. I felt like, okay, here comes more of that human element. And then you do hit a point, I don't think I'm spoiling this, where it gets a little bit slow, but then suddenly,
something bad happens.
Yeah. But little, I can't, I'm not going to say it.
Oh my God, zombies break into the safe house?
It is unexpected as hell. That's all I'm going to say. I don't think that's spoiling anything. That's all I've got to say.
Do you get attacked by a zombie while you're taking a dump?
You should. That would be great.
Oh, that would be terrifying.
That would be great. But they are doing a really good job of, I think this is closer to the graphic novel in terms of,
I also like the art style. It plays to that vein, and didn't, because of that, it never approaches like relating it to the show.
Yeah.
And, I think it plays to Telltale's strengths. And, so really it's just, I hope they can keep this going.
Yeah.
Good momentum.
Really enjoying the narrative and.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And also like, cause I kind of worry, about your plan, Josh, because I think I recommend if you're playing an episode, play it in one sitting.
Yeah,
and they're like 2 to 3 hours,
mm-hmm.
and those are good bite sized chunks. And I wonder trying to play like 15 hours of this in a row,
I think it'd be a bit much. Like when I play the end, like when I get to the end, I feel good about it, but I'm like, yeah, sometimes I think, well, I want to go back and try it a different way, but then I start to, and I'm like, yeah, I'm okay. I want to continue carrying on the storyline.
I guess I'm just looking at it like a TV show. When I find a show, especially one that's already out, I like to consume it at whatever speed. Like, there's some shows I couldn't do that with, like, I'm blanking. I did it with, like, Battlestar Galactica. I came in, like, season 3 or something.
Yeah.
So I end up just chewing through 1 and 2 as much as possible. But like a Supernatural, that's a show I like, but I can't watch like an entire season at once. I mean, I got like a few episodes at a time, and I take a little break. And so But I hate it when I've got to wait weeks and weeks, or I hate those like season breaks on a show. Like I hate that because I'm never as into it. Like I'm not going to go back. I don't want to play, one of these episodes and then wait, almost 2 months maybe. And then I'm like, well, who's that character again? What did they say? What happened here?
They do a recap.
How good is it? How deep is it?
They do a good job on it. I am very surprised with the recap and the preview for the next episode. Like that's they do a good job.
That may be the
job.
Thing that gets me to.
And looking at the type of games you play, this is a very good.
We didn't know that first episode.
Yeah. This is a very good break from more conventional type games. I think it was, I have said, and I was wrong, it's an interactive cutscene. But I think that's a good because, again, you. It is like watching a show. It's all the good of that and a little bit of that interaction.
It's a choose your own adventure.
And book, I think that's a good way to, from playing the game where I'm just killing.
Space vampire.
Yeah. Space vampire.
Great choose your own adventure, book. Really.
It's the worst kind of vampire, though.
Those are my favorite ones.
Yeah. But yeah, no, I don't know. I think you should start playing it because I want to talk to you about it. Okay. I really like to talk to you about it.
Well, now that I know that there's like a good recap.
Yeah. I think you have enough content to hold you over. Until you get to...
Or maybe you go two at a time.
Yeah, go two at a time, yeah.
It's just two now.
Yeah.
Well,
Yeah, but wouldn't two at a time be too long of a break for Josh?
I don't know. I hope they can keep their schedule going. There was a little bit too long of a break here.
Yeah, I didn't like that.
And I just say that as an impatient fan. Like, I want them to get it right, so I don't really care, but...
I thought it was weird when they said, when it was Gary Whitta, they said he was going to write episode 3 or 4, mm-hmm. and he hadn't even started on it yet, and they just launched 2 or 1.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, wait a minute. And they're supposed to be 1 a month? What? How exactly are they going to work on a game that hasn't been written, or an episode that hasn't been written yet? I can't even begin that.
Yeah, I was going to say, I
don't
think
know what it happens.
Is 1 a month by 1 every 6 to 8 weeks.
Yeah.
What it's looking like.
That's what's going to be the most. Yeah. Plan on that. If you plan on that, you won't be disappointed.
Yeah. Well, I may actually, I may do it.
But see, the cool thing is by the time you get done with all these, you're into the next season of The Walking Dead on TV.
Oh, yeah, I guess so.
You know?
Right.
So you should have your
Wish I have
zombies.
To wait.
I hate that, too. Yeah, well, Dexter is going to come out, too. You're going to be busy. Busy times.
Yep. JP?
Yes, sir.
What else you got?
Do you guys want to talk about Fez?
Surely. Why not?
Yeah, because I know what else you played. So yeah, let's talk about Fez.
Thanks, Josh. Asshole.
I like hats. I like Fez hats.
Yeah, well, Gomez wears a Fez hat, so it's pretty name fits. You know what I mean? But anyways, I've started playing Fez, so I like this game a lot, and I will go on a limb and say that this is probably my favorite indie game that I've played so far. Now, not a huge sample size, but
can you qualify that? Yeah, like what are your other contenders?
Minecraft, Binding of Isaac, Chutlu Saves the World.
Limbo, Braid, Super Meat Boy.
I like Super Meat Boy. I haven't gotten around to buying that one yet. I've played like the demo of Braid, didn't like it. Same with Limbo, wasn't a huge fan of that one.
Left 4 Dead.
With that?
Left 4 Dead, I'm just kidding. It's
Left 4 Dead.
It's the joke is whether Valve is independent or not. It was just a joke. Please continue.
I will have to say that my interest in this game peaked because of the indie game, the movie screening.
Okay.
But I went out and downloaded it a couple days after that. And as soon as I started ripping into it, I could see why Justin, you and Aaron talked so highly of this game on a previous Super Gaming Best Friends, because it is, number one, it is visually beautiful. I mean, it is just ridiculous how beautiful this game is to look at. And the music in it is really, really solid.
Music's good.
Yeah. But
really good.
Disaster piece.
Yep.
The puzzles, though, are crazy. Like, just getting around the idea that you can spin the world to make a long jump easier. Like, once you kind of get over that hurdle and figure that out, the game opens up even more. But then I still kind of reach puzzles that it's like, can I even get through this part yet? You know what I mean? So, as of right now, I've only opened up the first gate in that main hub world. Because you know how there's 4...
Yeah.
Gates that you can go through. So I open up the gate to like the little town that you go to where all the people tell you things that don't seem to make any sense right now, kind of like Simon's Quest. But
I didn't even think about that comparison.
That's funny.
What? Nobody made sense in that damn game and we all know it. But yeah, so other than that, I mean, I really enjoy it. It makes me realize that logic puzzles are a lot of fun first and foremost. So But I think it's really well done. Now, luckily, I was gone when that game-breaking patch to fix a patch came out, so I didn't download it, thank God. But other than that, I like it.
So have you got in, and you probably played a little bit farther than I have now at this point, and I kind of have a similar opinion of the game, I think, so far. I just ended up, too many other things flew in front of my face, and I got distracted from Fez, but... Have you gotten into that other side of Fez yet, like the secret side? Because that's the thing that interested
me
the most.
The negative cube side, or no? Yeah. Or is there something more to it?
Well,
that
yeah, and there's you know that like the symbols.
Oh, how the symbols stuff are out. Its own inner language within the world.
Yeah,
I know about it, but I haven't really found anything to. I haven't found like the Rosetta Stone of. The Fez language yet.
I mean, I have done a pretty good job of avoiding any spoilers online, but just that people talk in vague terms about, like, oh, man, at some point, like, everything changes. You look at the game totally different, and like, some of it is, like, maybe the language, but then there's, like, this other, you said something about a negative cube thing, so there's maybe something else going
blue,
on there.
The blue cubes that you go out and find as well.
You know, it's like, what is going on with that stuff? Because that, so you do you have any idea... Not based on spoilers you read, maybe, but just like in the game so far.
I guess to that point, I'm amazed at how deep this game really is. Because on the surface, when you start playing it, even if you play the trial on the marketplace, mm-hmm. it looks like just a standard puzzle game. Like collect your cubes, move on to the next one. Collect your cubes, move to the next spot. But the fact that like I'll find myself going through doors, like as soon as I see a door, and then I'm like,
yeah.
Five screens away, and I'm like, how the hell do I get back there? I left cubes on the table, and then you find yourself coming back full circle. So,
yeah, kind of naturally, though, right?
Yeah, kind of. It's almost
sometimes.
Like, sometimes. It's almost like when you talk about how, like, you know how they mine coal by just cutting off the top of mountains? Like, literally, that's what it seems like this game's doing. Like, you hit the peak, and then there's just more and more to it as you cut down the layers of it. You know what I mean? But, like, that map confuses the shit out of me sometimes.
Yeah.
And I'll look at it, and it won't gold the room and tell me that I haven't gotten it. And I'll go in this room, and I'll be like, where in the fuck is the answer to this secret? You know what I mean? Like, I'm looking at the room, and I'm like, I figured out every way to turn it, uh-huh. and I just don't see it at the moment. So, I mean, that could be part of the deeper secret puzzle portion of it.
It is kind of – I can't imagine how hard it must have been to keep track of all the interconnected stuff. Because you're right. You'll end up – you go through one door, you pop out somewhere else, you go into another door there, you come out somewhere completely different, and then, like, five levels later, one connects back to, like, the first or the third one or whatever. And it's like I got to think Phil Fish probably had – a like one of those molecule models, like sitting on his desk, and he
yeah,
with all the
yeah.
Not to mention,
Josh, that when you're going through that chain of doors, when you hit that third or fourth one, there's like three branches off that third or fourth one that you can go back to, and it's just they all compound against each other. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
And I would find myself going like, well, being very hesitant about moving forward naturally. And I go, well, I want to go back, and you know, the completionist in you wants to grab all the cubes. Mm. So you're going, like,
gotta get them all.
I gotta go back and grab those. But I just kind of let myself go and go with the flow, and it worked.
I'm not a big completionist person, but for some reason, when I play this game, I want to find everything. Because I think, as Justin has said in the past, he feels like the game is smarter than him.
Yeah.
And so by finding everything, I can be like, yeah. Fuck you, game. I'm smarter than you are.
Well, and it feels like all those things that you're collecting, all those cubes, really, like, they matter, maybe?
Yeah,
it's not just like, oh, it's not like hidden coins in Mario or something like that. It's not, or star coins. It's not like that. This is the whole point of, there's a story reason why you're collecting these, but there's still, you have questions that you don't have answers to. And so it's like, well, if I don't get these things, I'm not ever going to find those.
So that
was motivation for me.
I think one of the... I actually laughed at this part of the game, but you know how when you start the game, like you run around and then the earth kind of rips and then it goes to a black screen and like this reboot screen comes up? I loved that. As soon as that happened, I'm like, this game's amazing. Like just that little sense of humor in it was just unreal because he literally was making fun of like, to me, almost like the Nintendo cartridges where you'd get that blinking blue screen or whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but sometimes when that happened another time when... Where there was like the, you first see like the big cube and then like these weird symbols are kind of appearing, like flickering on the screen, and I kept thinking like it was actually, you know, like there's a reason for that.
Well, the game also has bugs, which is the kind of funny thing.
Oh, like you don't know, is it real? Is it a bug or is it a feature?
Wasn't that the bug in the movie when he showed it at PAX, and that was like, the bug that had it. Was the very first bug when he first showed it to the first person, wasn't it? When the screen got all woozy, and then maybe he just incorporated that into it?
I think
it?
That was going on, but the bug... Yeah,
I don't think that was the bug itself. That doesn't. Well, no, that doesn't. I don't think that can happen.
But
those symbols popping up.
Like, no, I know, but do you think that maybe like he took that, and he was like, ha, 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 let's incorporate that back into it.
That
was
intentional? Cool, but I don't think that's so.
Well,
that's not...
As you guys talk about this, and seeing Phil Fish's mental state,
he's schizophrenic.
In you know, Indie Game, the movie, I can see why he kind of lost it, in addition to just all the pressure that was on him. Like, when people talk about this game, I just, like, I'm not dumb. I know I sound dumb. I'm not dumb, but this does not appeal to me at all because I feel like it'll take my brain into a
dimension
that I don't need to be in. You know what I mean?
But I guess,
like, afterwards, I'll be making,
you're not welcome here.
Well, it'll be like the scene in, you know, Close Encounters of the Third Kind, and, like, suddenly my wife walks downstairs, and there's a huge,
mashed potatoes
made of me. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, I feel
it'll
like that's
be
what
like
this
Legos.
Game, it'll be cubes. I mean, don't worry, Aubrey, just turn.
Okay, but here's a side question, though, Ethan. What's your opinion of the Portal series?
I enjoyed it. It didn't compel me. I like to see, you know, puzzles incorporated into action, maybe, but...
Okay. Like Braid?
I didn't like Braid.
But the thing is that Fez is no different, in my opinion, puzzle-wise, from Portal. It's just platforming puzzles.
I don't know, dude. You still gotta get to that other level of Fez that, like, I'm like a Fez downer now. So I basically completed the first run-through of it. Like, there's basically...
Here we go.
Yeah, there's basically two sides to Fez.
Upside Down Castle?
It's like, but if you didn't know, the Upside Down Castle was actually there. Like, it's so...
But now we do, because you said it.
I mean, there's the platforming, find all the cubes, like, solve the basic puzzles of...
Are you talking about the language thing? The symbols thing? Or is there something else going on?
Yes. Where...
Like, where does that lead, though? I don't know what that has to do with anything yet.
This leads to more cubes.
On a non-pessimist side, though... Phil Fish is about within our age demographic of the people that work for the site. And when I play that game, I really get the feeling of that he has written a love letter of his childhood into the game. I know that's really sappy and like waxing nostalgic, but when you play that game, it feels comfortable to me. Like, it feels safe almost, but challenging at this. I don't know. There's just something about it.
Like, I love the game. I really respect the game. But I'm not going to have fun with that second level of the game because the amount of time it's going to require investment wise to actually see that through. Because I don't want to go online and find the answers. Like, that wouldn't be satisfying either.
Oh, I refuse to do that.
But like, so it's weird just as time has gone on that I get what you're saying, and I felt that too as far as his love letter to like classic games and classic gameplay. But then there's just, it just feels like this other layer to Fez is just making fun of me, and I've begun to resent it. And I've gone through a lot of emotions thinking about Fez to the point where I was like, no, that's not fun to play. Is where I've gotten.
Well,
so.
And I have two feelings towards this game. Number one, this sounds like Lovecraft to me, in the sense that when you're reading, you know, H.P. Lovecraft, there comes a point where a scientist or some just really intelligent person sees this other side, and he just goes insane. So I don't want that to happen. Number two, I think this is Phil Fish's way of bringing the movie Gamer to life with the mind control.
What the hell?
You know what I mean? Like, everyone's gonna get the cube, and oh, we all get it, and then they realize we've been playing Fez this long. What could we actually have been doing? Like, that's what I get. Like, when I read, because I'm interested in this because I go in the forums and kind of see all the jazz that was going on when the big hubbub began.
Jazz
essentially, jazz and hubbub. I went in these forums, and these people were—they sounded like crazy people. They did.
It was awesome to witness.
Yeah,
and like. And I
from a distance,
people like mysteries.
So, yeah, and I mean, I feel bad for like, because my tone has just turned so negative about this game. But it's still like, I'm still happy with the purchase. Still like, that first layer was really enjoyable and really fun. But
it's something pretty special for a downloadable game.
Yeah,
it's BLA,
I think, and it's just, it's one of those experiences that I could recommend like blindly to anybody.
I respect your caution, though.
But. But I haven't gotten in that second layer, is all I'm saying.
Yeah.
I think it's a freaking steal for $10. I really do.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, just, and even if you just enjoyed it as a puzzle game.
Puzzle platformer, yeah.
It's like, well, they're, like, Echo Chrome kind of was a similar kind of game where you're, you know, playing with perspective.
You know what? Like, I just realized I can also relate it to Trials. It's like, I enjoy 3/4 of the tracks in that game, but that last quarter, fuck you. That's kind of where I'm at with it, is that's not why I'm playing the game, so I'm going to go enjoy the part that I really like.
Yeah, sure.
And I'm kind of, I'm just done with that part in Fez. Like, I've done really all I can from the platforming side, and yeah, as far as, like, getting into the cryptography side of it, I'm not going to put that time into it, so that's awesome that it's there, and that mad props to Phil Fish for, like, his mind not exploding while making that happen.
I think it did. It may have.
But just, well, I guess, well, my point there was, like, just the fact that there's, like, a solid puzzle game in there.
Yeah.
The spatial puzzles, rotating the level, trying to figure out how to reach the next cube. Like, that part of the game is solid enough, and there's enough of that in there. It's probably, you know, worth the $10 just by itself. Mm-hmm. The fact that there's this whole other weird layer on top, like, I think that's just, you know, that's just icing.
Would, JP, did you get to the point where you unlock everything and Jonathan Blow walks, crawls out of your TV, and then you have to...
Like the ring?
Give them me.
Oh, God.
No.
No, that didn't happen? Okay, just imagine it did. I know Jonathan Blow had nothing to do with that game, but I feel like if anyone's going to crawl out of a TV, it's Jonathan Blow.
Actually, yeah. I think if you solve all the puzzles, it's probably like more of like a mind control device for Phil to have you go kill his former partner.
I heard a few...
and I heard it wasn't even that big of a deal.
Yeah.
I heard if maybe you solve Jonathan all the puzzles, you get a free trip to Canada. For some French fries and gravy.
Joke's on you. They're always free trips to Canada.
For French fries and gravy?
Oh, that's called something. What is that called?
They give you a coupon for the French fries and gravy.
Centauri shows up in a space car and it takes you off to fight the Codan Armada.
You get a what is it?
Wait a second. JP, sorry to interrupt you. That was the dorkiest thing that's ever been said on a video game themed podcast. Oh my God. Awesome. Oh my gosh. Okay, sorry, JP.
No, never mind. I guess I didn't even hear what Josh said, so all my thunder's gone.
Oh, it was awesome. Okay. it was unbelievable.
Josh, say it again.
No, you can't. Things don't play twice.
Yeah.
The postman doesn't come around twice.
You're a horrible host.
I've heard that before.
For this site.
Like for my parties and stuff, people say that. They're like, well, you didn't get any chips for us? Like, you only got individual serving bags for yourself?
You know what? That makes me mad to hear that, because last week you served me a cheeseburger with 3 different kinds of cheese, and I was really, that's a great host. Okay,
that's true.
Don't let anybody tell you that.
Sorry,
I take that back, Josh. I have no frame of reference.
So I guess we're back around to Ethan.
It's
been a while.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
an hour since we last talked, Ethan. So what? Please don't be an iOS game.
No, it isn't.
Okay. Yeah.
No,
all right.
I haven't been traveling. I've been at home. I have no excuse to play, you know, focus completely on iOS games. But again, I'm still kind of chipping away at my backlog, and I played Mirror's Edge a little bit this past week. I kind of wanted, again,
that's
how
new
does
and
that
hot.
Hold up.
Well,
I mean, it's new. Yeah. Tell me about it.
Well, I mean, and again, this game came out quite a bit, you know, quite a while ago. And I remember I had a client that I worked with that was really into it. And he just went on and on about how awesome the game was. And, you know, and I wanted a different experience because I didn't want just action or anything along those lines. I've been hacking and slashing and picking up loot compulsively right now, and I needed some obsessively, not compulsively, and I needed something different, and Mirror's Edge just kind of was like, again, like kind of like Silent Hill Homecoming, though I didn't really have any sort of, you know, reason to go for Mirror's Edge, but I kind of wanted something different. I think people that jump around and climb on buildings in real life are like the coolest people on the planet. Like, if I could hang out with anybody,
they just run away from you.
Well, that's fine.
Or
I would
climb
just,
away from
that's
you.
That's my friend.
Or run and climb
see that
away
guy on the building.
Wait,
that's my friend.
Why did you play this game? Why didn't you just watch parkour videos on YouTube?
No kidding.
It's not the same because I wanted
D12,
I wanted
D13.
I wanted the experience. I wanted the experience
the
of doing that.
The opening scene to that James Bond movie,
the Luc Besson film.
Yeah. I wanted the experience. I don't want to just watch people do it. I wanted to be good
I
at
do it myself.
I will never be able to do these kind of maneuvers in real life.
I don't know, man. You're in pretty good shape.
I was in good shape, and even at my peak,
even when I did the Tough Mudder, I didn't move like that. You have to flow, man. I don't flow. I move.
You might be a little too caveman-y for that.
I have lateral movement. You know, and I mean, in this game, you're jumping and spinning and climbing, and it feels really cool, and it feels like you're doing it. I mean, it's from a first-person perspective, and that kind of scared me away from this game initially because I thought I would just get nauseous. Like, I was going to be ill by the end of the experience because you're first-person perspective, and when you do a somersault, you see the person somersaulting, and it felt good the whole time. You know, like, it was really cool, and I liked it.
I need to get him a gymnastics game.
Well... But you're running away from people.
Summer Olympics.
Yeah. Mario and Sonic at the London Games.
Oh, completely different experience because you have people shooting at you. Okay, if Sean Johnson could do the, you know, the whatever, pommel horse with someone shooting guns at her, that would be, is that what it's called? I don't know.
Pommel,
whatever.
Pommel horse is that person's
name. Gymnastics dorks, look at that. Yeah.
Working for the evil Dominique Mochianu.
Dropping names!
You... Boom!
That makes Sean Johnson. That makes me look like an ass.
You made a 4 years ago reference.
Yeah. Oh,
and
he dropped an 80s bomb.
Year.
Yeah, that was a no. She was
12 or oh whatever.
You're thinking of the little one that broke her ankle.
Oh,
still
I was thinking of the guy, the coach. What's that? What was his name?
I don't remember his.
You know
name.
The guy that
I know what you're talking about.
The coach. The
carried the.
Yep. Oh yeah. Girl. Yep. Yep. Yeah. What was his name?
Mustache man. Mm-hmm.
He had a mustache. Everyone had a mustache.
A Russian Eastern name, right?
Oh, yeah, he was. Yeah. Mark Spitz had a mustache. Good swimmer.
Nice mustache.
Really good mustache. Yeah, yeah. Probably one of the best.
So, the winner in our random pool of, if you thought we'd take an Olympics detour during our Mirror's Edge conversation, you know, collect your winnings now.
Isn't parkour an Olympic sport? Badminton
It'd
is.
It'd be tough. Though there is parkour championships.
In the Olympics?
No, but... That's MMA should also be in the Olympics.
Hasn't
and it's
even
not.
Made the X Games yet.
What the? How the hell
is
step
weird.
One?
That is weird. That is why I think that's really weird. Those guys are and ladies are incredible athletes, and I mean
they're just bored athletes.
And that's the thing. Like I almost like Mirror's Edge. This utopia, dystopia, whatever you want to consider it, because everything's
they're
clean
very
and
different.
Looks good. Well, to some people, a utopia could be a dystopia. That's kind of the point
into
of the
one
game. Yeah.
Sometimes.
Whoa, Phil Fish.
It does become a fruitopia.
Different level.
I wish this conversation's a fruitopia.
But again, I feel like if Mirror's Edge really happened, we have thousands of dudes and dudettes that could, you know, deliver packages and steal them and that kind of stuff. And I wish this was happening now. So Why not? I want to look up in the sky and see some guy going, hey, we have bike messengers.
Like in space? Space parkour.
That's just gravity.
That's the only way that we'll ever be able to do parkour is in.
Could you imagine waking up in the morning? You're on the second. We're on the second floor. Frame of reference here. And some dude like zings into your room and like, hey, Josh, here's your mail, and then pops right out.
If
that shit doesn't happen in Indiana unless like the Super Bowl has built special things for us.
Well, we don't have enough shit for people to climb on necessarily. But you could just leap over a fence.
Why not?
Or like, hey, there's a wall. You just kick off of it and flip and then land and just keep going.
Yeah,
and you don't stop running.
You never stop.
You know what? Let's
pizza delivery guys.
I don't give a shit if it. No. Just the post office. Gets USPS back.
What about Jimmy
on
Jones?
The map?
Oh, okay. I got you. Little.
It needs something.
Little. Small
this is
town.
What. Yeah.
It needs parkour. I mean, I agree with it 100%. Getting mail, it's usually bills, but if somebody handed me a credit card application, but they flipped over my car and then slid underneath like something. Yeah, I'll take it, bud. I'm not going to do anything with it, but thank you. Good to see you. I'd tip him. I'd give the guy a tip.
Picture Mr. McFeely coming to Mr. Rogers' porch to say hi, but he flips in off the roof, like swings off the gutter.
And he climbs up there. Wait a minute. He climbs up there and then flips off. And
oh, yeah, like, yeah.
Yes, I'm in. Mm-hmm. I'm in. Oh, we just saved the post office.
Yeah, we got it. We did it.
It's two high fives.
As someone who's played Mirror's Edge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We were talking about it's not that good. as far as like all of our stories are much better than the execution.
Oh, absolutely.
Of
but I did. But it was a good game to play at this point. It was a different kind of game. It was a cool change of pace.
Oh, yeah.
And I enjoyed that.
What if you played Mirror's Edge with the John Carmack 3D head display?
Shit. I would play that. I would vomit.
Would you shit your pants and throw up?
I would. Both sides. I remember
would
that
you get
happening.
Vertigo? Was there like enough of the tall building stuff and skyscraper shit that you would actually maybe get vertigo,
I don't love heights. And
I don't either.
There's
I
a couple scenes in this
heights.
Game where I'm jumping and
Yeah, it was 3D. I remember one time I drank bad milk in high school, and I vomited and had diarrhea at the exact same time. I think that's what would happen.
Oh, God.
It was bad.
Oh, God.
And let me just say, one of those did not make it in the toilet. Okay,
whoa.
Use your imaginations, but...
Well, I hope it was the vomit. Oh, but it wasn't. Uh-oh. So, like, the pressure of one is just going to force the other one out.
Oh, yeah, it was bad. But, you know, I know it's not a great game. I don't know if I'm going to finish it, but it was a good change of pace. And the mechanics to it are unique, and I enjoyed that, and I enjoyed what I was doing, and it felt good. Like, I felt powerful. I think we talk about that sometimes in games where you feel really good doing what you're doing, and I felt good doing that.
It's gorgeous, too, by the way.
Oh, it looks really nice, yeah.
And
very clean.
Like, I want to say I played, like, 2/3 of the game, loved it through like half of it, but like when it starts to get a little bit more action oriented towards the end, that's mm-hmm. when it kind of gets frustrating, because I was trying to play it like super stealth, not using any weapons myself, and it can get frustrating when there's a lot of dudes shooting at you and there's only so many ways to go, and it's a lot of like just repeating the same parts of the game over and over again until you get it right. But yeah. The saving grace was that time trial mode, and then the multiplayer side of it, but just like trying to navigate areas really quickly and get the best times and scores. I got really heavy into that.
And I think that, if anything, I would probably like that better, because the storyline, I didn't even really know what was going on.
Yeah.
She's got a weird face tattoo. What does that mean? I don't know. Didn't pay attention.
That's what makes her so aerodynamic, and that's why you can't parkour, because you're caveman-y and she has a facial tattoo.
What are we saying here? Is this going to happen tonight? Do you have an ink pen and a needle melting into my...
There we go.
I come home and Aubrey's like, no, don't worry about it, babe. I'm going to parkour. It'll be fine. I'm going to save the United States Postal Service. It all makes sense. Just wait. Yeah. God.
Okay, so
Phil Fish
a
got
synopsis
me.
On this is it might be a little bit more enjoyable to have diarrhea and vomiting at the same time than playing this game?
No.
Okay. I'm just confused because I'm still hung up on the previous conversation.
I'm just talking about what would happen if we put John Carmack's virtual reality helmet on while we played this game. That would make us diarrhea.
I thought we were still talking about Fez. So,
I think in a
wasn't
way,
there, wasn't there supposed to be a sequel to this game?
It's been rumored. Like it's kind of got a cult following, and they tend to get pretty excited anytime.
How much money did it make? That's your answer.
It didn't.
Yeah, I don't
think it did. Maybe not. Probably not.
It's EA though.
I think it was also just a, you know, more of a technical experiment for DICE, because I believe they're actually the developers behind the game, and it was more like a
they put out some other stuff that made a little bit of money.
Yeah,
since then, so I don't focus on that.
If they really liked it,
I think they'll bring it back next gen, but and try because it definitely was a good idea, not the best execution of it, but it might work with a little bit more time, effort, and like a new direction, I guess. So
maybe they should make the next Prince of Persia game.
What? This still goes down one of the more unique games of this generation, which is kind of cool. So
yeah.
No one.
Nope.
Nope. Hey guys, I've been playing Pinball FX2.
What?
he just burped. Justin doesn't like virtual pinball.
I don't think he likes real pinball.
No,
he had such a mean
pinball.
Look on his face. We were at that pinball convention. I'm not kidding. He was really happy. You should have seen this kid. He was like a kid in a candy store or a kid in a pinball machine place.
We did.
Continue.
I like both.
We did a.
I like both. I really enjoy pinball.
I like real balls and virtual balls. Anything I can flip. I just love flipping balls.
Those are Josh's words, not mine.
Yeah.
I'm paraphrasing you.
Yeah, right he now. Is.
So we did a, it was the last week, we did a little Game Curious on, the Marvel Avenger Chronicles Pinball. I think is that the official title? Something like that.
Yeah.
It's four new tables for Pinball FX2, the pinball engine by Zen Studios. It's on XBLA, PSN, some other 3DS. Anyways, there's like, I have a whole shit ton of tables for this. And over the weekend,
you got the shit ton DLC.
Yep, I did. Yeah, mm-hmm. It was a good deal. It was good, like 800 points.
Yeah.
So like since we recorded that video, I did a bunch of I just was like trying to get high score on a bunch of tables. You know, beat my old scores. So I played stuff from the new pack and the last two Marvel packs, and I kind of came up with some new favorites actually, like since that video. But some of these tables are really awesome, deep, Like, there's stuff going on. The Blade table from, like, I think that was the first Marvel pack. It is really good. It doesn't follow the movies. It follows the comics. So it's already better, I think, than
no
it could
Ryan
have been.
No Ryan Reynolds.
No, Hannibal's in there, but Hannibal King's in there, but he's not.
When will we agree to never acknowledge the existence of that third movie?
Never.
It was all right. Never, it was fine. It was fine.
I like Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah. Yeah, he was fine in that.
Yeah. The Proposal? Did you see that?
Get out of here.
What? It was good.
Like,
Bullock.
But so I think the physics in Pinball FX are fine. Some people, like real like sticklers, I'm sure.
I prefer the physics in Marvel Madness.
Say, yeah, I'm sure. Yeah,
pinball physics is a lot of contention.
I wish you could have seen his face when he said that.
Yeah.
But you know what? I don't really care because I can't afford real pinball tables, so how the hell would I know if it's not very realistic?
No shit.
Don't give a shit. Plus, you get into the groove, you know how the ball reacts.
What are the alternatives to playing virtual pinball?
Well, can I just point out that Justin's pretentiousness looks like a lazy eye, so I don't know.
That's my monocle.
You should probably never eat caviar.
That's my monocle impression without...
The cool part about all these tables is that they are so over the top. There's absolutely no way that you could do these things on a real table.
I'm okay with that.
Like, you know, when you've got like Iron Man flying around the board, like,
oh,
yeah,
I have that.
You know, oh, I'm sure you.
Yeah, his Iron Man machine's unbelievable.
Yeah, you're awesome though. So you're more cooler than the rest of us.
Yeah, that's true.
So, like the Blade one, it goes from day to... It's got a day and night cycle. It's really cool. It's really fucking cool. When you go on missions and, like, Blade powers up. Iron Man table, like, you see Tony Stark standing on the table. And they're animated, you know, like, dudes. And then as you go through, like, the missions, then he gets, like, his armor on and he starts blasting shit. And so every once in a while you get to control some stuff, you know, or you'll select things or that kind of stuff. And one table, I think it was the new Infinity Gauntlet one, has a whole other section.
Oh.
Like you go into, you do something, and the ball goes
infinite
to another...
tables?
It goes to another table area, like a smaller table. Like, kind of like the Metroid Prime pinball does third level, that one.
I get what you're getting.
And I'm like, where the fuck is this play field at? Like, where is that, like, stacked up? Where would that be on a real table? You know,
another dimension.
They do design them to look like real tables.
Okay, now that the ball went up, the pinball machine you need to
walk
go to
over here.
Yeah.
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 You need to, like, run over there. You got to run, though, because the ball's still moving.
Immerse yourself. Act like you're not doing this. Yeah. If there's a big tube connecting the two, right. Look great.
You see the ball.
It's a trap door. More effective.
Yeah.
I'm looking at a pinball machine.
I really, really dig in the Thor table, the Fear Itself one.
Was that the one you kind of struggled on?
Yeah, I sucked really. Went on the video, I lost all my balls quickly.
Real quick.
I did not do well on that. And then I was actually playing it earlier today again, and I put up a new high score. For me, that's
shit.
Good, but
I'm about to get this. Just
don't look at the
leaderboard hunt.
Oh, yeah, don't look at my scores on the overall leaderboards. They're not good. But I found myself, playing with, one quarter for, 10 minutes, 15 minutes or something maybe, Like, you get a really good run.
I don't know. Okay.
And that doesn't necessarily mean anything for your score if you're not hitting the right stuff. But for me, I get enjoyment the longer I go in a pinball game. So I don't...
enjoyment the longer I go, too.
Yeah.
Tantric pinball.
Yeah. So, and usually what helps me play pinball longer is when my balls get saved. and then my balls get back out on the board faster. So anyways, so I'm just kind of learning like the little nuances of the tables, and I'm just really starting to appreciate the design. Like these dudes, I can only imagine they must really, really just love pinball, and because they're designing tables from scratch, virtual tables from scratch that are super, super interesting, but to me feel like their elements, besides the animated elements, the rest of the actual boards usually, I mean, that's like, it looks like real stuff, like it looks like a table that could exist, minus the, whatever, Captain America throwing a shield around the screen,
It takes a special level of pinball aficionado / designer to love pinball to the point that you want to make tables that aren't actually possible. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
Like,
yeah.
Because they have like the design sensibilities that are grounded in reality, yep. But then because that's I don't think just anybody could design a good pinball table.
Right. Yeah, and like I said, you pull away some of the visual elements, and you could probably do all the technical parts of these things, like mm-hmm. you know, real like you could do this.
But they have the classic tables in this too.
No, I don't think there's any.
I'm confusing it with different platform.
I think these are all custom ones. Like there are the Williams Classic Collection. That's really fun too. I like that. That's on a. I've got that on.
I just can't believe
disc.
I can't believe I'm actually interested in this. From like it's always, I wrote this off as far as just a confusing DLC platform that I don't understand and looks way too much money to invest in. But there's some fun virtual pinball, and I used to have fun with.
I think we've got
pinball.
like 15 Marvel tables,
yeah,
something like that. I mean, and they're all really fun. Like I like the other tables too, some of them, but they're fine. But the theme, you know, kind of grabs me, and then it's like turns out like, oh shit, these are fun tables too. So yeah, this is right now my go to for this has kind of replaced my Binding of Isaac's, you know, Super Meat Boy thing. This is my go to for my little 15-20 minute
cool.
shots.
Yeah, pinballs.
You get into it pretty quick.
Yeah,
you know, you get into the action quickly, and then you just you know play a couple games, and
you might have just sold me just on that little.
That's my.
I don't really have that on my Xbox.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like once a month I replace that mm-hmm. game. You yeah. know that, and I come on here and I talk about. Like, hey, this is my new whatever. That's it right now. So,
new
you know,
jam.
Just so you know, in case anyone at home's following along.
Video game jam.
Do you think there's any pinball manufacturers that are actually making real tables that are just pissed about this? Like, they want kids to play pinball. Because when we went to Louisville Arcade
Stop
Expo, one aspect of that show was, hey, let's introduce the younger generation to how we used to do things back in the day. And that
I
experience.
Won't pretend to understand the current pinball marketplace as far as like you know when we went to the Louisville Arcade Expo and they had like the new Transformers machine, like what does it take to you know commit to doing a new branded pinball machine?
Yeah, I don't think there's a lot of those,
right? Yeah,
and they're always like licensed properties, so there's got to be some promotional bucks just going there just to subsidize.
I almost think
like the Tron tables, which looked cool, but those are like yeah. who's buying that?
Yeah.
Like, where you can't go in public anywhere around here at least.
I think this is
kind of
keeping
that.
It alive in some respects. So
okay,
but that's purely speculation on my
yeah.
part. So
well, yeah, but
I mean, I'm an expert
one,
in this.
But you
angry
don't see
old timer that's like, oh,
you don't see pinball like around.
You should.
So just anytime you're exposed to any kind of pinball, one. I think that's a good thing at this point. You know, if it's at yeah. a convention, that's cool. If it's at you know, because no one's buying these things for home. They're so expensive.
Yeah, they are.
And well, you can't maintain them yourself either.
Didn't one of the major pinball makers either go out of business or just stop making machines altogether?
Williams Midway, right?
Yeah.
Gottlieb.
Yeah, that's what I thought it was. Because
Gottlieb isn't around, are they?
I don't know. All I know is I have this holy grail idea of buying an original Simpsons pinball table someday.
That's your holy grail idea? Well, that's what you want to succeed?
That's when I know that I've made it in life is when I own that Simpsons.
That is
kind of
true
table.
Though because it's probably expensive.
Probably, but it's in my eyes, it's an antique.
We should make one, JP. We'll just make a pinball machine.
No.
Why not?
I watched that video.
You know
series.
What?
Ethan trying to make a pinball machine.
You guys know the Ben Heck show?
Upstaged by Kane's Arcade.
The
Arcade Wars coming to a. Basic cable network near you.
Yeah, do you think people would be offended if I challenged him to an arcade creation contest?
Yes.
I think they probably would.
Probably so.
Yeah.
The Ben Heck show, Ben Heck the hacker who made the you know portable Xbox, and he makes custom controllers for people with handicaps, stuff like that. Real cool guy. He's got a show on Revision 3.
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Sounds good.
And he made a pinball machine. Like from scratch,
really?
Yeah,
well, one day.
Yeah, in the show,
I was gonna make a sandwich, but I decided to make a pinball machine.
He didn't completely finish it in the show. It was like pseudo done, but there were functioning things. Like he was actually making stuff, and it just for somebody just to home build elements of a pinball machine. It is unbelievably complicated, like engineering wise. Like just to make everything's like the tolerances for everything are so small, just to make the ball not get stuck or do the thing you want it to do every single time when it passes a certain feature on the play field. Like it looks like wow. I a lot of respect for the pinball makers.
You just took the wind out of my sails, JP. What about you?
Yeah,
I guess the dream's not gonna come
the
alive.
Maintenance guys too.
You know what, Ethan? Let's just go with the Arcade Wars idea and let's make an old school Aladdin's Castle style arcade in Indianapolis, and we'll sell it to a basic cable network like Discovery or History, and we'll just chronicle trying to get kids to play stand-up arcade games.
That sounds like the kind of show that would get us on, what is that?
I'm pretty sure
Sketch
any...
Sketch Predator? Yeah.
Is that what yeah. I was going to say? Any show that has the catch of chronicle getting kids to do...
Okay, now I know that sounds bad, but in reality, we would probably get more late 20-something, 30-somethings and beyond in the arcade to play games.
Mm.
Especially if we're talking like real pinball arcade machines.
Now you sound like John Wayne Gacy. Come on.
Why do I have to sound like a
psycho serial killer? What are you, a doctor of again?
I don't know. Yeah.
Oh.
God, you're the one who talked about Mirror's Edge, not me.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, he was such a good man, but then he played Mirror's Edge, and then he started murdering people at an arcade. You know what? Write that down.
EA doesn't appreciate that.
You know what? Let's just make a field trip to Japan and go to the arcade there.
Oh, that'd
we'll
be
take
cool.
Alex with us, and he can play DDR. And
the Pinko machines?
Fun.
Is that what it's called? Their game they play?
Never mind.
Plinko?
Plinko.
It's Pachinko.
Pachinko?
Plinko is the Price is Right version.
Oh, yeah. I hate the Price is Right.
So fucking dumb.
I know.
Oh, Captain Aardvark from the fight.
Captain Aardvark.
Oh, best and use of... somehow we come back around to Love Barker.
Yeah.
So, let's...
I would give you a high five, but you have a pin in your hand.
It's for your tattoos
my
later.
My tattoo, yeah.
I think that'll wrap up the What Are You Playing segment, I think.
Aww.
Yeah.
We're out of time. Sorry. No more game talk.
Boo arts.
Let's go to Justin for some HorribleNight.com updates we get into our...
I'm going to make this quick.
Last segment.
July's got a lot of special events going on. We've got another indie video game film that we'll be promoting this month. We'll be revealing that later this week. And then we're planning for a Horrible Night Out. Late July, early August in the Indianapolis area. So be prepared for that. And then finally, we'll be unveiling next week a little bit of a charity challenge going on with a couple writers on our site. So a couple special events to get through the summer here. And but lots going on HorribleNight.com as soon as we get back from the holiday.
How far out are we now from the next big Call to Gamers event?
I think we're planning for the fall, so
because that seems like it's creeping up real soon.
Yeah,
and I'm really excited about that.
I'm currently working on revamping that site, so we're gonna relaunch a Call to Gamers, our community outreach organization here later this fall.
I can't wait to raise $10,000 for a good cause.
Boom!
It's a good goal. All right, guys, it's time for threesomes of the week. There should have been some music accompanying that.
This is the announcer from America's Funniest Home Videos is joining us tonight.
Ethan, would you like to kick us off with your threesomes?
I'm going to kick you off. I felt like... What?
What? What's that? Oh, dude, there's a website for that.
Yeah, it sounds like... Yeah, I've seen that, actually.
How far do your toes spread apart?
Never mind.
Go ahead.
I can get top of the scrote, anyway. Sorry. I finally saw The Avengers.
I hate it when we don't have a classy start to threesomes of the week.
I'm sorry. But here's classy. I saw The Avengers, finally. People have been talking about it.
Finally!
Holy shit! Oh my god. Like, if there was a way for me to masturbate for 2.5 hours while watching a movie, I would do it for this movie. Like, like if I could have that much just... sensation
with those big
this just in
Hulk hands. Toy Hulk hands on
this just in Joss Whedon has retired.
He won't
pinnacle.
My wife fell asleep during this movie.
What?
I know, she said it was too slow in the beginning. I said that's a build up. She loved the end, but holy cow.
We're still talking about the movie, right?
Yeah. Well, we can talk about that elsewhere. Anyway, I thought it was genius. I cannot say one bad thing about that movie, except for Hulk just did not smash enough for my liking.
Oh man, he smashed awesome.
And Josh has been talking about the Hulk. I've always kind of, I like the Edward Norton Hulk. I like that much better than the crap that, what's his face?
Oh, Eric Bana.
No, that was Vault Bana.
It was the director's fault.
Ang Lee's fault.
Yeah. Yeah, they tried to make it look too much like a comic movie. And there was a scene where that frog exploded. Oh, that was gross. Anyway, I love the Hulk now. I'm a huge Hulk fan. After just, oh my gosh, that movie just.
Okay. Yeah, all true statement.
Yes, let me collect myself. I have been lacking on my appreciation of comic book superheroes. I've liked the X-Men. I read the comics for a long time, then I just stopped, and I kind of had this kind of aversion to superheroes. Oh, too corny, too whatever. But the Avengers series, you know, Captain America, the Iron Man movies, and the Avengers itself. I haven't seen Thor yet, but I'm going to. It's on Netflix. I'm going to watch it.
I can't believe you didn't.
I'm going to watch it.
Fucked up, though. You should have watched it first.
I sometimes actually like to prequel it.
I don't know.
Sometimes I do.
You shouldn't have.
I liked how they referenced a few things. It got me interested. But, man, that movie just. I like the actors who played it. I think about how expensive that freaking movie had to have been. But it was awesome. Like, this is like Hollywood. Hollywood, hey, this is how you spend billions on movies like this.
Yep.
Maybe not billions.
So you make billions.
Well,
I don't think it's
Marvel.
Why don't people
has,
get it? Just don't spend money on Piranha 3D and that crap. Get Robert Downey Jr. You know? Oh, it was an unbelievable movie. Perfect.
I mean,
movie.
Can you believe though that when like before Iron Man came out, Marvel trying to do the movie studio thing like by themselves, like this was like a push for like, all right, we're gonna do this. And see how it goes, and they were not sure.
Yeah.
Like it was like, ah, it's Iron Man. Is it gonna? I don't know.
That was
kind of a
break.
Like people talked about Iron Man, like, oh, it's like a lesser known dude.
Well,
which for me as a comic fan, it was kind of like, what? It's fucking Iron Man. Yeah. What are you talking about?
Yeah. But you looked at it like could be another Daredevil. Like that was
right. It was like, what do we have before that? Daredevil, Ghost Rider, Blade.
Yeah.
There's some other shit they didn't even put their name on. But yeah, like that. Well, and Spider Man, but X-Men. So I guess those are
the successes, but I guess
but it was like
would Iron Man.
They were technically their Marvel properties. It's not Marvel Studios necessarily, but so you look at like it was like okay, the Avengers makes sense because it should easily translate to film, you know, and like it was like Iron Man, perfect. Robert Downey was the reason that did what it did, I think, because he was the.
royalties
was
on all the movies
in,
after him.
He was brought into this world to be Iron Man.
Yeah,
like I think that's why he's on the planet. Like he is Tony Stark.
Yeah, I think it's pretty sure that's why he didn't die during all of his overdose.
Well, and that, but that's the thing. It's,
oh my gosh!
But
the Watchers were watching.
But before that movie,
they intervened.
Robert Downey Jr. was on. Kind of a downward slide. I mean, he was having all these issues, and he
that was a
did
big
Iron,
comeback.
Iron Man saved his life. I'd like to think.
Yeah.
I think maybe in real life he
I
got.
Think he
that,
saved oh, your life.
I think
in a way.
This may be one of my favorite movies.
It's okay.
Like, and I'm okay. I mean, absolutely okay with that. And I look back and I like the X-Men movies. Weren't great, but I liked them. But I'm so excited about what they're going to do with superheroes now. Like, I feel like no longer are they sticking to. Oh well, the fans will like it. They're writing. It's a well-written movie. It's funny. I mean, you said that. It's funny. It's well-written. No one's just using the franchise.
I'm just really interested to see how I react to Spider-Man and Batman this year. Just, like, tonally, they're so different than the Avengers, and I've kind of bought into what Marvel has been doing.
Yeah.
Not that I have any doubts about Batman, but it feels completely different.
Well, and I like Batman for that reason is, it is dark. They're kind of taking it in a more, not realistic, but like a gritty, more like the original Batman kind of was.
Right.
And with these movies, they're doing kind of the same thing, but it goes in a different direction based on, again, that tone. And it's cool to see that you can have two different types of superhero movies that both are successful. I mean, Yay!
Yeah, but this has, like, you were personally invested in this movie before
the
movie came out because you had seen all the previous, most of the previous films, and then the post-credit stuff with Sam Jackson, like, the perfect build-up, that's something that's never been done, and it made everyone catch the buzz.
Yeah.
Like, everyone talked about all that shit, and it's like, it was the perfect lead-in, and having Joss Whedon do it. Like, I remember, like, at one point saying, like, I can't believe they're not letting Jon Favreau do this. Like, he's, like, the guy, right?
Yeah.
He's the guy right now that, you know, that made all that stuff happen. But Joss Whedon is, I mean, that guy is the ultimate nerd. Like, he like, lives it and breathes it, and he creates it, too. Like, his comic run, when he was writing as the Astonishing X-Men, got me back into the X-Men.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the best comics I like his style. I know some people are like, fuck Firefly, I don't like this and that.
Did he do Buffy too?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But and they also did Alias and Dollhouse, I guess, or started those. I don't know if he like how much of that. You know,
yeah.
Sometimes you start stuff and then they let it go. But I mean, he really, really got into the comic side of the Avengers. And it showed, like, there was so much fan service mm-hmm. for, like, comic book fans in there. Like, tons, lines and stuff you see and, like, all these just nods left and right. And, like, the biggest complaint, like, that the geeks have is, like, well, Captain America's outfit wasn't very true to, like, his, like, you know, like, okay, yeah. Then that apparently, I think.
But you have to do that because then it looks geek bad. Cred. It looks, I mean, comics don't translate 100% to movies sure. just based on, you know, the art style.
Some of the stuff does, like an Iron Man suit or, you know, whatever. But
if you look at the X-Men costumes.
Tights in movies don't necessarily work well.
People don't like to see that. Right. They don't like superheroes to have tights.
Well, that's why Wolverine made that one joke in that X-Men.
Although, like with First Class, they did that pretty well with integrating some of the colors. That was kind of cool.
Yeah, that was. Yeah. That was a good movie, too.
That was good.
Justin's making duck lips.
Yeah.
I don't know why you make a duck face right now. You gonna get your camera out and take a picture of yourself too in the mirror? The bathroom's over there.
Post it on your Tumblr.
So cool.
Yeah, no.
I'm glad you saw it finally.
Yeah, I feel good about it. Something to bring the happiness down a little bit.
Uh oh.
Disappeared on ID, which is the Investigation Discovery channel. I don't want to talk too much about
it. Wait, what's
Investigation Discovery is basically think about Unsolved Mysteries, but take one of the mysteries from Unsolved Mysteries and expand it.
Okay.
And dive deep into it. And that's what this
sounds awesome.
It's really sad.
Sounds like your kind of show.
Well, it kind of is. I can't be happy all the time. I can't be fun loving. I have to feel a little bit of that reality introduced into my life. And this is what it was. And today some dude disappeared at the bottom of an underwater cave. Oh, can you imagine that? It's horrible.
That's actually not a surprising place to disappear in.
But you have to put in there, effort into it, and it's. Could you imagine you're stuck in an underwater cave?
We said a no guy one's disappeared come to help in his you? House.
Well, that's I mean,
more surprising to me.
Oh, I've seen people disappear in the house. There was a spy from Britain that actually disappeared in a duffel bag. It was in People. Do you guys not read? Anyway,
what the hell?
I don't know. Where are we?
I don't know.
My wife and I watch this channel all the time. It's really kind of disturbing when you think about it, but it makes you really cautious about everything.
Does she watch this channel or do you watch this
channel? No, she loves it.
Okay.
She actually probably likes it a little bit more than I do, which...
Falls asleep during Avengers, but loves disappeared.
Yeah. Well...
I'm just saying.
I know.
I'm just judging your wife on air.
I'm just saying.
I'm worried about her sometimes, too. Okay? Like, I know that... Like, just so you guys know, and everybody knows that's listening, if I ever disappear... Look to my wife, because I guarantee. Anyway,
no, I'm not. I'm just gonna watch the ID network and watch the episode.
Does she have some sort of tool or implement big enough to sharp enough to
cut
like parts of you off to fit you into a duffel bag? Because you would not fit into any duffel bag I've ever seen.
No. Well,
like a rucksack,
maybe a big hockey bag. Those hockey bags.
Those are pretty big. Yeah,
I could probably fit in that. No, I'm trying to think what she would use. You know, I actually got a saw that I was gonna cut the Christmas tree into pieces and throw it away, but I never did. So she could
then
use
you realize
that.
It's plastic. I can just snap it.
No, it's real rusty. Really rusty. It's curved. It's like no saw I've ever seen, actually.
So I really like have
this medieval weapon?
Huh. Maybe it might be. So again, if I'm in a duffel bag, my wife did it. You know?
So I just have to set his wife up. That's right.
Yeah.
Okay. See, and that's what this channel teaches you is don't trust anybody. Especially it's people you just don't know all that well.
Thanks,
or
TV.
People you really love.
Yeah. Anyone can kill you.
Everyone
anytime.
Wants to hurt you at
Everybody
all times.
Your kids can kill you. Your grandma can kill you.
What?
Yeah. Your stepmom can poison you with acid.
Oh, my God.
Trick you into thinking it's cough medicine and do that.
I had a babysitter put out a cigarette on the back of my hand.
This stuff happens all the time.
I know.
Did you report that shit?
No. I was like...
You shouldn't.
I was like
kill
seven.
You. Yeah. Some money.
Yeah. No, you shouldn't.
I think she died. I think she died.
Did she?
Yeah.
Well, serves it right. Hockey duffel bag.
Yeah, hockey duffel bag. I hope I don't show up in that.
This bag smells. Oh, well, just throw it in a dumpster.
One guy who's wanted to kill me who finally hears the worst place for me to die in a duffel bag at the bottom of an underwater cave. I hope that doesn't happen.
It's in my top three.
Dismembered and drowned.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
Yeah. Yeah. It sounds awful. So, yeah. So, you know, a little race.
This show sounds awesome.
Yeah.
You'd probably get into it. It's one of those shows that you shouldn't get into it, but you do.
threesomes, like where Maury, the goal is to talk as little about the actual subject as possible.
Yeah. Well, no one really gives a shit about this show. We just want to talk about people drowning in duffel bags.
And that's what happened to the show. So if you give a shit about that, then you'll give a shit about the show.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to watch this, though. I just wanted to hear you talk about this stuff. You don't want the personal feelings. No, I don't care. Too much like made-up drama in these shows. I don't care about
that. Oh, no, they're real.
I don't care about stuff. I don't care about the commercial break. Like, let's recap every time.
Did you like Unsolved Mysteries?
I watched it, but
did you like it?
Sometimes it was not really the idea of it. Sometimes was way better than the watching it.
No, you're right. And the same thing with the show.
Who's that guy? What was that guy's name?
Robert
something. Yeah, not Urich. God damn it, he was in Ice Pirates. whatever.
So
moving on.
Yeah, so moving on. Last thing I did was I have felt really. It's really weird because Josh. Actually, for the Diablo thing. What? I can't even say it.
Doesn't matter.
We all came.
Diablo.
Mission accomplished. Yeah. Made him paranoid about it.
Yeah. Actually, that's the only thing I'm paranoid about anymore, which is good. I kind of felt like the geek in high school.
You would never be able to summon Beetlejuice, by the way.
No, I wouldn't be able to. I wouldn't want to. I showed up, and I have a Dell manufactured computer, which means that I didn't build it. Which makes me feel like a big asshole now because everybody else around me builds computers. And I know I need to build one, and I don't have a lot of experience, but this weekend I got a little bit of experience. And if anybody out there is having a CPU that is overheating, either check your fans to make sure they're still running. And I did that.
Mm-hmm.
Fine. Cleaned it out. Got all the dust out. It still got up to 95 Celsius. That's not good, friends. That's not good for a CPU. The thermal paste, thermal grease, whatever you want to call it. I somehow found one frequently asked question that led to another one, and that's how I figure anything out with a computer. And that's the best way to go about it, especially if you're new to it.
Online research.
And you should learn how to do this stuff yourself, and I 100% think this is... I knew this, but now guaranteed you should, because what I did with the computer would have cost hundreds from like a computer gut person.
Yeah. What do you do if your CPU disappears?
You're fucked.
In a duffel bag.
At the bottom of a cave,
yeah. Full of other CPUs.
There's actually a Navy guy on the show. Just go back to the show.
He specializes in CPU.
He does. No, he specializes in cave diving. Cave body diving recovery.
Like,
I swear to God, he's the guy. He walks in. He's like, and then they called in Captain John Steele. I don't know if that was his name. And he walks in. Nice. He's like, hey, what's up? I don't even see how the guy could get into like a scuba suit.
I just
want to
know how that became his specialty. Like.
Was he really slow? No. He's really strong. Like really, like veins.
All I could think was like Peter DeLuise on Sequest.
I'm just picturing a big.
They would
daddy.
Send him out for those kind of missions.
Yeah, perhaps. Anyway,
or Big Daddy. Yeah, sorry.
Back to the computer. So yeah, I had issues with my thermal paste. I got some, and I got my rubbing alcohol.
Yeah,
95%.
Would you use to as a
cotton swab to get it off? But then I had a microfiber to actually cleanse it after that. So again, I did a little
cotton
swab.
Balls leave little fibers. I use coffee filters.
That's a better
non-abrasive. They don't leave behind any fibers.
It's a really good idea. Mm-hmm. I should have done that. But again, I that was the initial cleaning, and then I put my grease on there, which thin layer of grease. Put it all back. I'm running at a nice and cool, crisp 40 degrees Celsius.
Damn, that's a 55 degree difference. And in Celsius, even.
I was.
Mathematicians.
Probably about 5 minutes away from not having a CPU.
Yeah.
I mean, literally, that could have happened. So, yeah,
I felt
good.
They're supposed to shut down when they hit unsafe temperatures, but you never know how a Dell motherboard is.
Well, and that's where I'm starting to realize. And it struggled, and I just. Again, if your computer's yelling, and literally my computer was like, hey! If you hear that sound,
when you see steam coming out.
Hey, guys! Hey! You changed my thermal grace. I don't know.
Why does it sound like Harry Carey?
Did it? Oh, yeah. I wasn't even trying to. Yeah, my computer. Yeah, the soul of Harry Carey.
If I was made of blue cheese, would you eat me?
Oh, jeez.
But yeah. So yeah, I felt good. I felt good at the end of Sunday. I was pissed all day, but I felt good that I accomplished a mission. My wife said, good job. Like, she was happy. Like, she felt good. She congratulated
me. Wife Chivos.
I got a wife Chivo. Yeah. Trust me, I did. I did. No,
what's
she
wrong
just,
with your eye?
She hugged me. No, she just hugged me. It wasn't like a real good wife. Oh, she built. But anyway, yeah, it's all gone.
Cool. Not good threesomes.
Yeah, it's diverse.
You're in the lead so far.
No.
JP.
Yes, sir.
Let's see what you got.
Okay. Let's talk about a couple indie movies first. I want to talk about, have you guys seen
That's going to take up two.
What?
Are you sure you want to do two? Because that's going to take up two slots.
Yes, I am sure. Because okay. These movies are good, and I want to talk about
it. All right, go ahead.
Okay, the first one I want to talk about is Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy. You guys seen this movie?
I have seen it, yes.
Oh, good. Someone to talk about this movie with. Okay, so Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy is a movie based on a book of the same name written by a French guy, I believe, in the 70s. And it's about MI4, and it's basically there's a mole somewhere in the top ranks of the spy. MI4 is the British spy group. And so there's a mole in the top, and the movie is about Gary Oldman plays... I don't really know his name, but he is essentially trying to figure out who the mole is.
Oh, you don't even have to worry about that. You just actually, there's a little device you can put in the ground and it emits sonar waves, and then all the moles just come up to the light and it kills them.
Ethan, this movie took place in the 70s.
And he hit him with a mallet.
Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah. No, that's a game at the carnival. So, anyways, so this movie is a very classic espionage mystery whodunit movie, and it also has Colin Firth and Tom Hardy in it. And this movie was fucking amazing, in my opinion. I thought this movie was just awesome. What did you think of it, Josh?
I wholeheartedly agree. I loved it. I thought it was fantastic. Yeah. It was a different. I mean, it had the thriller aspect of a spy movie, but there wasn't a ton of action.
Well, we have to front load this by saying it is not an action movie. There are two gunshots.
No. Yeah.
No, three gunshots in the entire movie.
But still, it's a thriller.
It is. It's one of those where I felt in the first half hour, 45 minutes, at times I didn't know what the hell was going on. Because it's kind of rapid how it jumps between the characters. Because this is another, there are a lot of characters in this movie.
You really have to listen to everything everyone says.
Yes, and you really have to pay attention to what's going on. But I had figured out who I thought the mole was before they announced who it was, and I was correct.
Yeah. I got it later than I thought I would, though.
Yeah, same here.
You
same
guys
here.
Should be in the CIA.
It really, like, in the last 45 minutes, it started to all just kind of steamroll. Like, it was literally like rolling a snowball down the hill. Like, it just gained a head of steam, and you're like, oh, yeah, that makes total and complete sense at that point.
It's like the writing and the acting and stuff, they're all top-notch. You know, like anything Gary Oldman does is the best thing.
But it wasn't just him.
No.
Everybody in this movie acted out of their freaking shoes. Like,
yep.
Tom Hardy, who we're used to seeing in these heavy action roles, who's going to play Bane in the next Batman, was phenomenal in this movie.
That dude's kind of versatile.
Yeah, and of course, Colin Firth, you know, won an Oscar for The King's Speech. So, I mean, that guy is freaking amazing on his own right.
Yeah,
but
he is.
Yeah, this movie's great. I highly recommend. Set aside 2.5, almost 3 hours. I don't know the specific runtime. 127 minutes,
and
it says. But
yeah, and it's Cold War era, which is cool. But this had a real authentic feel. Like, not that I would know.
Yeah, it felt real. I agree.
But yeah, it just felt a little more grounded than most of these kinds of movies. It didn't seem like it wasn't so. It didn't have like a romantic view.
Yeah.
Of that.
No,
60s
no, it was
spy
a very
shit.
Matter of fact view of what was going on. Like, and I also was surprised in the end that what ends a good movie is it really makes you think for a little bit about it. And how the movie ended really got me thinking, and it pulled up some emotions that I didn't expect to come out of me at the end of that movie.
Love?
What? No. I don't know. I can't really say it without spoiling it because the last event of the movie is pretty significant. But that specific event is what really brought up this range of emotions for me because I was trying to figure out. I was trying to put myself in the one character's shoes and see how he was feeling about how the end of the movie played out.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about now, correct?
I do, yeah. I do.
Well, this sounds... Okay. This movie, I heard about it on NPR, but it sounds kind of exciting because I think that the over-action spy, I guess, maybe is what we would call spy movies right now. And when people think spies, they think of kung fu and they think of explosions. And, I mean, that's not what espionage was about, like, at all. Like, that was, like, a very, if anything, tiny, tiny, tiny portion... I mean, you didn't go out and kill a lot of people. It was a lot of, you know, like surveillance and, you know, making friends with somebody to make, I mean, most spy missions didn't take 5 days. They took, you know, maybe months. 5 years. Yeah.
This was a total breath of fresh air.
Yeah.
I mean, as far as from where you're coming from, Ethan, I mean, there's a sequence where, you know, one character says to another, I need you to go steal documents for me. And he literally has to infiltrate the government that he works for and not get caught stealing these documents, like straight up stealing the hard copy of the documents.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's pretty clever about how he does it. But at the same time, you kind of take a step back and you're like, this is the old way it was. Like, you had to run in there and take pictures, or you had to just like hand steal all this crap.
Well, and if you watch a spy movie and at the end of the spy movie, you want to become a spy, then it wasn't a very authentic spy movie. You know, like the life of a spy has to be shit. Like, it can't, there's no fun about it. No one's your friend. And I like movies that take that kind of approach to it.
I agree.
You know, I like, you know, Mission Impossible. I liked, you know, those kind of movies. James Bond was novelty, but I mean, it's cool to have that. And the Cold War is the best era to do this kind of stuff in, though I'm sure there's some pretty badass spy shit going on right now that we don't know about.
I'd bet it's not that cool.
I know about it. Well, it's not that cool, but maybe more scientific. More x-ray lasers.
You wouldn't understand it.
Are you a spy? You look like one.
I bet it's all cyber espionage.
It probably is.
I bet all spies now are just, they sit at laptops and cafes, and they just read emails.
I've seen them.
And they write emails. Covert, secret.
Covert.
And maybe
emails.
They blog.
Confidential emails.
Maybe they blog.
Using Thunderbird.
Wait, Sparrow on Max.
Wow.
I bet real spies use
Snow
Linux.
Oh, you think?
Lenovo ThinkPads.
No, Lotus Linux. Notes.
They would lose. They
Lotus
would use
Notes.
The least. I think they would
it's
use
like
one
the
of those.
Eagle.
I feel like if you really
Lotus
wanna,
Notes.
You need a Leapfrog. You know, one of those little computers for kids? No one would ever get it.
But
like,
yeah, but,
oh.
But you actually have like top the line hardware in
oh,
it.
Oh, just Leapfrog. Just make a little few adjustments.
But with custom firmware.
Yeah.
Written by NSA. Leapfrog. JP?
Okay, let's move to the next one. Okay, so another indie movie I saw was Seeking a Friend for the End of the World. This is a Steve Carell, Keira Knightley movie, and it is not, it's not a comedy. I will come straight out and say that right away. I'm sure there's people out there that see the previews and they're not really sure what this movie is about, but Steve Carell's kind of doing what Will Ferrell has done lately, and he's going to do these kind of artsy think pieces, I guess you would call them. The premise of this is that basically, the people of Earth have found out that in 3 weeks' time, an asteroid is going to come and just vaporize everybody. So,
yeah, that's a shame. Where's Bruce Willis?
Yeah, where's Affleck?
Yeah, well,
Affleck!
But at the beginning of the movie, it basically says that every like scientific effort they've done is not going to work, and that they've gone
idiots.
To every last resort. So
no, your last resort's the Roughnecks. That's what they should have done.
Or Morgan
Graham,
Freeman,
Steve
at least.
Jimmy, Owen Wilson. Oh, yeah. Or the
well,
really crappy
it's
B movie,
movie
team.
They
from
don't
that
have the
movie.
Budget for that many A list actors.
Yeah, that's
so,
probably why.
So Steve Carell's going to save the world?
No. It starts out where Steve Carell's in his car with his wife, and upon this news, his wife gets out of the car and just runs away. Like, fuck, literally man. Runs away from him 3 weeks to go before the world ends. And so the story is basically about Steve Carell's kind of a loser. Like, even facing the end of the world, he sells insurance. And so he goes to work for the first week of the 3 weeks ending.
I love
okay?
that.
And it's basically like he realizes that I got married because I was paranoid of dying alone, and now this is ultimately going to happen. And so he then meets Keira Knightley's character, who's a polar opposite, and he gets
domino.
A piece of mail from her because she had been hoarding like the misdelivered mail, and like his high school sweetheart or the one that got away sent him a letter. So he wanted to go find her, and at the same time, Keira Knightley wanted to get to England, which is where she was from, and she missed her flight home to be with her family. So it's about Steve Carell going to find his missing girl, and then getting Keira Knightley at the same time to an airplane to get her to England.
Oh, okay.
And
like, how is he going to drive to England?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the end of the world. Anything can happen.
Well, but
magic
it's just...
Magic Wish Dragon?
What's that?
The Magic Wish Dragon?
Yes, the Magic,
Falcor.
The Magic Wish Dragon, yes. But
in the world, not the never-ending story.
Yeah, that's kind of the same thing. There was the potential for the end of the world. No, no, no. Sorry.
No, that's okay. So, and the story kind of progresses from there. And,
kind of.
It's really about Steve Carell and Keira Knightley's relationship throughout the movie.
Does he tap that?
I'm not going to spoil it.
Oh, that wouldn't spoil it. Yeah, it might spoil it.
Go ahead. No, don't spoil it.
No, I won't spoil it. But
don't spoil it!
It was definitely one of those that when the ending hit, you were just kind of... You sat there for a minute and had to think about it.
Ending literally hit like an asteroid.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah. But the thing is put yourself in a situation like that. You know what I mean? Like, when you think of it from that perspective, it really makes you kind of wonder.
Hmm. I hope that doesn't happen.
I hope it doesn't happen either.
I was really, like, paranoid when, you know, Armageddon and that other asteroid movie came out that, like, the government was trying to tell us something.
You won't name it. Yeah.
No, I don't remember what it was called. I just know Morgan Freeman
refused to call it by its name.
Maybe asteroid movie that shall... We're being really Lovecraftian today. Okay, sorry.
Yeah, kind of. Well, but I mean, I guess the reason I like indie movies so much is that because they make you kind of think. Like, you have to think about what's going on. Well, you don't have to, but I like to think about what's going on, and I guess... I just like to reflect on it.
Well, they take chances.
What is going on?
Yeah, they do. They do take some big chances, and I mean,
this would be a comedy in Hollywood. Like this, if this was a Hollywood movie, it would be a comedy. I mean,
correct.
Yeah,
if it was a true Hollywood movie, it would be a comedy. Like, for instance, I mean, I have a ton of indie movies on my list I want to see right now, like Moonrise Kingdom, because I love Wes Anderson. You know what I mean? So, I don't know. I gravitate to a lot of these movies.
The art house cinema.
What's that?
Nothing. I think Ethan just he just like pantomimed like smoking from one of those really long cigarette holder things.
Right. When you give me those instead of the 3D glasses.
Yeah. Speaking of that, I really want to see The Artist. You know what I mean? Bill cigarette kind of movie.
Yeah.
How about Jack Reacher? Are you excited to see that?
I don't know anything about that.
You know what? Just before we went on air, in my email, I got this a promotional email from whoever Tom Cruise hooks up with studio wise, and it was just a big image. It says Tom Cruise is Jack Reacher. I'm fucking serious. He's standing in a street next to like a muscle car.
Isn't that Rock of Ages though?
No, this is something else.
Oh, okay.
This is like a new movie.
Looks like it sucks.
And he's called Jack Reacher.
Okay.
Or Reacher, comma Jack.
Okay. Well, hey, just for Ethan. Ethan, do you want to talk about a real Hollywood comedy for a second?
Yeah, why not?
Let's talk about the movie Ted.
Okay.
So I went and saw Ted on Saturday morning, and...
this is the Mark Wahlberg joint, right?
No, this is Friend Down the Street.
Oh. Yes. Seth MacFarlane and
the
vulgar teddy bear with Mark Wahlberg and Mila Kunis.
Oh, I like to think that Mark Wahlberg with Seth MacFarlane. I really like Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah.
I mean Max Payne, did you see that?
If you choose not to focus on Mila Kunis in this story, that's fine with me.
Oh, I didn't hear about the Kunis and the Poonis.
She's so hot. Don't hate.
Oh, no. Trust me. The opposite. Trust me. There's no part of me that would hate that. You know what I mean? I'm talking about my dick.
just making clear here.
Yeah. Sorry, babe.
So anyways, it's exactly what you would expect from Seth MacFarlane. It's over the top, extremely vulgar, makes some pretty... borderline or offensive jokes many, many times throughout the movie. But I mean, all in all, it's what you pay for. Like, if you expect it to be along the lines of his three shows on Fox, then you'll enjoy it if you like any of those three. But it leans more towards Family Guy in the humor style than it does the other two, which I don't even speak of because they're trash in my opinion. But no, I liked it. I kind of wish that he would abandon American Dad and the Cleveland Show and just do the Family Guy and maybe more movies. But
not all of them.
No, I still enjoy the Family Guy. But it's pretty funny because, you know, Mark Wahlberg grows up in the 80s, and so there's a lot of pop culture references. Like, his favorite show growing up was Flash Gordon, and so in one of the sequences in the movie, he goes to a party that Flash Gordon is at and gets completely shit faced and does coke with him. So it's pretty funny.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I don't like Family Guy just because it's just too random as far as South Park ruined the show for me.
Yeah, South Park.
I haven't been able to watch it since then. Is the humor random in Ted? Does that make sense?
It can be at times, but a lot of
it's cohesive.
Like, basically, okay, let me describe it to you this way. So imagine that you have a best friend, and your best friend is like this huge pot smoking guy.
Yep,
but instead
that's,
of him, like, he lives with you, but he's a teddy bear. And so because he's a teddy bear, he can get away with more because he's an inanimate object and not a
real. But he's animated.
But he's animated. He came to life because you wished him to life.
See, I would love that.
How much cooler would this have been if instead of a teddy bear, it was like Dolph Lundgren. Harry Henderson?
I don't think so.
That's all this really
Dolph
is.
Lundgren. He had a Dolph Lundgren doll in his room and he wished him to life. And it's just Dolph. 3 foot Dolph. That's the movie. TM. TM it.
3 foot doll. 3 foot doll.
Oh, man. Yeah, I mean, there's some funny jokes, and like I said, it's good. Now, I do want to say real quick that the previews before it were pretty good, and one of the previews before it at the theater I saw was for the Judge Dredd reboot, which makes me really want to see the Judge Dredd reboot and the Total Recall reboot.
Keith Urban as Dredd.
Is he really?
Yeah.
Carl. It's not Keith Urban. I think that's country singer.
Keith Urban.
I was going to say Keith Urban's
Bearing for my horse.
I think that's a totally different dude, actually.
That's Toby Keith.
We can't even get our fucked up references right. Oh, God. Toby Keith is Judge Dredd. Oh.
I do want to say, though, Toby Keith would have played a mean Thor. Can you imagine that?
No.
Really?
No, I kicking Thor?
Yeah, I know. I was going to say.
No, nope. No, still don't have it. I tried. I dug back. I went back to that one 2 times.
And he's going
to
play Doug.
Oh.
Toby Keith is Doug.
Jesus. No, there it is, clicked with Ethan. He's just,
imagine him in that sweater vest, khaki short. I need Photoshop right now because I have all these ideas. 3 foot tall, Jack Reacher, Toby Keith is talking.
Yeah, it's Carl Urban, not Keith Urban.
Thanks, JP.
You're welcome. But yeah, so the trailers in front of it were pretty good. But all in all, If you want a good standard Hollywood comedy and you like Seth MacFarlane, go see Ted.
Ted.
Cool. Ted. Yeah, it looks fun enough. I thought, yeah, that'll be fun.
I love fun.
Yeah, fun's good.
Going on record.
Next up, Mr. Justin Lacey.
What's up? Oh, what?
Do you have threesomes?
I do.
Did you have threesomes tonight?
Tonight? I'm on a twosome so far tonight. I actually was revisiting some shows that I watch quite a bit, but a little bit different here. I talked a lot about House last week.
But you watched them drunk.
Should have. No. So I finished House, I think the last show, and I really got back into House Season 1, and it just, only thing I want to say about that, just the stark difference in formula between the first and last season of House. Like, House is a... You know, he's a jerk, but he's a fucking likable character in that first season. And it just, that show got dark. And I like those first two seasons a lot more than where the show ended up. But it still holds up. So, and I still really wish that AMC or FX would get to like redo House in 24. It's my pipe dream.
Like with different characters?
No, like in their 12-episode season format and being a little bit more like serious tone than you can get away with like on
24. What the fuck happened to 24?
Yeah.
Where did that go? It was like going to have another season and then poof.
No, I mean, it went on for too long. 24 went on for too long.
No, I just remember like after last season, they were like, yeah, going to do another one. And then
I think they're going to do a movie, but anyway. Like, just if you, like that, I feel like 24 kind of set the stage for the success of AMC and FX shows.
How many bad days can one man have, right?
7. I think that's how many seasons they had.
Just, God.
So just make 12.
Each season was a whole day?
Yeah. Yeah, there was just 7 really bad days in one man's life.
Really
busy.
Just the 24-episode season anymore is...
That's outrageous, yeah.
How about 364? It's about every other day in the year for Jack Bauer. And he's just And he's just in fucking sweatpants all the time. He's drinking lemonade, and he's watching House.
He's watching episodes of 24? No, no, no.
Get him up both in one.
And that's how you watch House reruns on syndication, is through Jack Bauer's eyes.
His new three...
He just intros the show, and then it zooms in on his TV, and then you just watch the house. And then the credits cuts back to him, and he's asleep in his chair, in his lazy boy.
Or he turns to the camera.
Good episode. Bad episode. Chloe, I need a refill on my lemonade. Stat.
It's not a doctoral procedural show.
Yeah, it's not Grey's Anatomy.
No, he would call her for a, like, I need a something. I need a trace on this. Whatever. Shut up. I didn't have another word for that.
I need three cc's of lemonade.
No.
If it was House watching 24.
ASAP.
Maybe.
Oh. Now, there's
season two.
You just fezzed me, dude. That was a fez. Work my brain around, man.
What? What did you guys say? Use your words, Ethan. Use your words. He doesn't have him.
Then I jumped back into Supernatural, caught up with the most recent season. Oh, I haven't caught up, but I'm on my way. I'm about 10 episodes into season 7. To sum this up, I think basically they wrote Supernatural for 4 seasons originally? That was the goal? 4 or 5?
I think 3.
3 that they stretched into 4.
Yeah.
3
yeah.
that they stretched into 4. And then they had a 2-year arc that ended last season. So I was really kind of curious, like, how's this show keep going? I love this show.
Yeah.
And while I haven't fully bought into the new plot, I am just happy with Supernatural episodes where they're just hunting random thing.
Yeah.
And those still exist. So
and it's funny.
Yeah. And I'm happy.
Have those come back a little bit more so? I compare Supernatural to X-Files in the sense that they're...
It's the same pacing. It's like... 3 or 4 hunting episodes and then a plot episode. Okay. And 3 or 4 hunting episodes and a plot
episode. How far in have you seen a crazy, crazy serious twist?
No, not yet.
Mm, yeah.
Because they usually twist back.
Well, like something happens mid-season, it's crazy. Yeah. And then things get like, you know.
I've got really sad so far. But,
yeah.
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 I need to catch up. I'm way behind. I usually watch these like one after the other, so. Yeah.
But it's still got enough of those just entertaining hunt episodes that I'm fine. And, god damn it, like, I'm not a huge classic rock fan, but I fucking love the soundtrack to this show.
Yeah, they do that right.
There's a playlist on Spotify that somebody put together of all the songs that appear on the show, and they kicked off this season with Slow Ride for their montage. It's fucking awesome. Yeah. So.
That's what Mick G said he wanted. Cool classic cars, classic rock, fucking monsters, man.
No, well,
he didn't say Dark Monsters. What do you mean? I don't even know what happened.
I've got 2 episodes to watch, I think.
Of 7?
Yeah.
You're caught up.
Yeah.
So I'm still on halfway through 6.
How did I get ahead of you guys?
I
watched like 5 seasons in a month.
Yeah.
So.
No, I got 2 seasons and I watched them in a week. Just 2 seasons, probably like a long weekend. And after that, I took some time off because I was a little bit afraid of getting too excited about it because I was like, how could they keep it? Like, I had doubts about Supernatural. I'm like, you know, after the 3rd season, really, I thought, okay, we're coming to a close. And I was getting accustomed to, you know, a reality without Supernatural. And it just kept going. So I was like, I don't know if I want to watch it because I don't know if it's going to be like some of those shows where they keep going. Mm. And you're like, they kind of fucked it up.
On a related note, I wish I could remember who wrote this, but I read an article somebody wrote about they went to one of the fan conventions for Supernatural.
Mm-hmm.
And
I've seen this episode.
Yeah, you know what? It kind of sounded like one of the episodes. apparently, it was really sad. Like, I don't know. Attendance wasn't the issue, I don't think, but there was like nothing to do. Or like they had, it
so
was
people
just like
started hunting each
it was
other.
Like three it was like 3 rooms or something. They had a tiny, tiny little place for buying merchandise, and then it was just like, and these people were paying like, I don't know, $200 to go to this thing.
Youch.
And it was like, it included like a couple little things, but it didn't include a whole bunch of other shit. So there were people talking about they were spending like $500 or more, $1,000 on shit.
Was Jensen Ackles there?
The cast was there.
Good.
But they apparently it was like mostly middle-aged women. and they were they ate up everything that the guys were, you know, would say. They had like a cocktail hour thing where everyone, like, they paid like for this like VIP ticket to do this cocktail hour, and they just, all these, the fans sat at these little cocktail tables, and then the cast would come around for just a couple minutes at each table,
like,
and like,
wedding,
how you doing? Like, yeah. They're like, oh, how you doing? Where you from? Join yourself, all that. And then they would just like move on. And it was just like, it seemed so empty and just like, it seemed like a soulless, serious money grab. This writer did point out though that the cast members, and especially the two, and everyone called them the boys. Mm. Everyone, including like the MC and all the guests and everyone, the boys. Jensen and
Jensen,
what's his
and,
name?
Something else.
Jared. Yeah.
And
Ackleman?
So something.
Ackles. No, that's Jensen. Ackles.
Jensen Cankles.
Jensen Ackles. Jared.
Snackles. Snackables.
Snickles.
I don't know.
Snigger Snagger.
So they apparently were really cool, like really nice.
I've heard that.
Took everyone very seriously and stuff. We're not insulting, but the company that puts on this stuff was like apparently like real sleazy.
Well, yeah. And I mean that.
Well, they don't want to go back to daytime television.
How sad must that be? Like, someone spending like a grand to go to some like shitty little convention for like one little show. It's not like somebody was at like Comic-Con and like met their favorite whatever. It's like, you paid like, you took an entire, like, yeah, you know, like you took a paycheck and went to see Supernatural cast. I thought that was just
and actually,
sad.
I almost wouldn't want to go to something like that because I feel like I would be too fanboy. I don't get like super fanboy about a bunch of stuff, but this
you'd be
shit,
wearing
like,
the t-shirts and shit. They're like 5 feet in front of you, and you're like
Aubrey. I had a jacket that looked like a freaking Dean jacket. Aubrey threw it away because she said to me, "One, you're not Dean Winchester," which I know. Okay, I don't think that I am, but
that's
I know.
It's daily affirmation.
And two, she said it was ill-fitting. And I was like, bullshit. That's why I started losing weight again. Like, that's why I got back on the bandwagon, because I want to get back in my Dean jacket, but it's gone. Got thrown away. You know?
I'll get you a Dean
jacket. Stick with cardigans.
If you
they always
stay
fit.
In the United States of America, I'll get you a Dean jacket.
Look, I will probably not do that.
And finally, very, very bizarre threesome for me. I had an actual real life project that I completed.
A horse and a car.
Would you say it was supernatural?
for you? No, maybe super unnatural for me. But we took on the household project of putting together a patio.
Oh, there we go. Okay. I know where you're going with that.
Yeah. Which I'm not the biggest manual labor person, not much experience with it usually. No, all of my, you know, kind of summer gigs were computer related. So building computers is one thing. I had my summer of building 60, but building a patio is a completely different experience. Mm-hmm. And
less finesse.
Now let's just—it's the ground covering. It's not like you built like the whole, you know, with
right.
walls and everything.
Oh, he built a fucking gazebo. No. See, if I wasn't already married, I'd get married in it.
That's no, we bought true. A bunch of paver stones, and I basically laid those across the ground and
put a bunch of squares on the dirt.
And, yeah. Yeah, and essentially we were going to do a 40 stone project, and we turned it into a 140 stone
Whoa,
project.
Whoa, that's a lot of stones.
That's tough. That's a
all the Egyptians.
And then this was a couple of the hotter weekends lately here in Indiana that I started this project, which was genius.
You mean one of the hotter weekends in the country?
Yeah, that too. And
probably in history too. Good job. No, I'm just saying it's a tough job, man. You made
that
it tougher. It's like Herculean.
Plan.
Your new nickname is Manuel Labor.
So I didn't really know what I was doing. Luckily, my kind of project managers they gave me the tools and pointed me in the right direction. But because these types of projects,
wait, hang on. Are you talking about like the staff at Home Depot?
Yeah.
Okay. Did you walk
I'm talking
in?
About, I'm talking about my girlfriend and her father.
Oh, okay. All
right. who have experience with this type of thing.
Do they work at Home Depot? Have you seen those commercials where they walk in? Tommy, I don't know what I was doing, but then Tom showed up.
And the guy's like,
no
who the
problem.
Fuck is that lady?
And they stay there really awkwardly, like as a commercial. Home Depot, your place for home stuff. And they just stand looking at the camera like,
all
right,
I'm just a cashier.
Let's go. Yeah. Sorry, go
You're
ahead.
Fine. But after I started this project, I'm such a perfectionist, I wouldn't let anybody help me. Because I started laying these stones, and I thought I could lay like six of them and kind of line them up. And no, I had to end up go one by one and flatten the ground and
the gravel and everything I had. And it, so it took a, it was a very long, intense process, and I'm out of shape to begin with. So day two sucked. It was basically like day one after your first workout in years. And then, but once I got through that and the heat and, things started progressing, and I worked on it basically pretty much straight for a week and a half.
You,
and
while you're out there laboring by yourself, did you get heckled very much by anyone?
No.
Neighborhood kids?
No. No. They're all...
like, but yeah, like you have a shitty neighbor who's like, he's like, hey, Justin, how's that patio coming along? Oh, looks like you had some trouble this morning, huh? Oops, you dropped one.
No, I think it was more of the... I think it was more of the neighbors, the wives saying, see, he's got a project he's working on.
Oh, so like they hate you. Yeah. You're a dick. So
one, I just want to say one, I can't believe you didn't die, not because you're out of shape, but it was so hot that week. So, and two,
you are, but not because of that.
No, it looks amazing. Like, he did a really fucking good job of it. Like, I paid a guy like $5,000 to do ours, and just, I should have just had Justin come over and do it for free.
He did it by himself.
I know.
So I'm going to show something to Ethan and Josh.
Oh my God, he's got a map. He drew it out.
It doesn't surprise
you. Holy shit.
Does that surprise you?
On a grid?
This was on Saturday, I finished the patio, but Saturday night, I noticed several stones that I did not like. So
looks
I basically
like you've
been
playing Dungeon Master and you just tracked
your... where the dragon is.
I drew a grid map of all of the tiles that I needed to adjust for the next day, and
he has directional arrows.
Oh my God, this one needs to go in a quarter inch this way.
Yeah, because there's basically I found problems with like stones in the middle, and I had to find a way to adjust those by only adjusting the fewest amount of stones on the way. So this is what's going on in my head and why I wouldn't let anyone touch this project.
Hey, Justin.
Yeah.
You should seek medical attention, man.
I'm just not going to do this project again ever.
Do we know a doctor?
Tendencies.
Well, I was going to say, if there's two people that I don't think I would ever work for in a construction type situation, one is my dad, because he's a really tough boss, but a good boss, but tough boss, and two, Justin. I just can't. That hole would probably look better over here. I mean, you know, font. Like, we have to be really cautious of our font on our editorials. I can only imagine lifting slabs. He doesn't give a fuck. He wants that slab here, you know?
So it's done.
Yeah.
It looks good.
I can kind of relate. I don't know anything about laying stones, but anytime I lay pipe, I usually, that's a one-man show. Also, I just want to point out, too, that you got all these things, like, perfectly. Mm-hmm. But the earth settles.
Oh, I know.
This is all going to be fucked.
You don't think he accounted for that?
No. No, I'm okay with that.
You have shims ready to go?
But at this point, this first weekend, I still controlled all of these stones. And I had to... I'm fine with nature's going to do its course on this patio.
Were you out there with a laser level?
No.
He murdered Mother Nature just to prevent any sort of soil settling.
Oh, on Sunday when there was like a threat of a storm... Like, I thought, oh, man, I was like, I'm not ready for the rain to, like, affect what I've done here.
Climb the top of your crow's nest and scream at God? Forrest Gump reference?
Yeah,
Gary Busey?
I got you.
Not Gary Busey.
Gary
Sinise. I'm sorry. Two different Garys.
Whoa.
So, in the end, the funniest kind of revelation I had with the whole thing was we had my parents up for a cookout the night that I finished it, and some other friends, and when I was kind of talking through it, I realized, and I kind of said this out loud, I was like, wow, this is the most tangible project I've ever completed, because everything else that I do is pretty much digital. So
now how does that feel? Does that feel good?
Yeah. I mean, that was the other, I mean, after like when I was not letting people help, I was like, I'm doing most of this for me, that I have to complete this. So
I need a man activity like that. Like, I haven't done anything built like a, you know, like a statue or I don't know. Something out of clay. Maybe I should do that. Maybe we should do that.
You should build a bird fountain.
Oh, snap. What about a koi pond?
Yeah, that works.
Everyone
too.
Everyone loves koi.
Yeah. You could just like dig a hole in the ground for
cage.
That.
Oh, dude, don't you disrespect koi ponds like that. I've seen some beautiful koi ponds.
Yeah,
someone's bridges
too.
And that kind of stuff. Little zen gardens. I don't know.
Could you, know how to sculpt? Because you could do some, you know, some fancy, like a marble work or something.
I could use somebody to sneak up behind me and kind of help me with the last bit of it, though.
You know, talking about Jack Reacher again? You know what? I think we've run out of time for today's show. I think I'd like to thank Mr. JP LaFrance, special guest this week, for coming.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Doc.
Yeah, thanks, JP.
Always good talking to you, Justin, Ethan. I think I'm going to see you guys again in 2 weeks. Let's do this again. What do you think?
We should.
You want to do this again?
I'll do it.
All right.
Well, at least one more time.
We're going to come back here in 2 weeks. We're going to do this again.
Okay.
We'll probably replace JP. No offense.
Yeah, no.
Put someone else
none,
on the
taking,
little screen
as
there.
As long as we stay friends.
We
super gaming.
Yeah. Super gaming best friends.
Yeah.
But okay. I want to be real friends in the future.
Let's talk after the show.
Oh, you're breaking up. I think we're Scott, that damn Skype connection, we're losing you.
Yeah.
I hate you, Josh.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. We will be back again in 2 weeks for another episode of Super Game Best Friends. Bye. Super Gaming.